Blog Talk Radio.
First question, what is your aspiration in life?
Oh, my aspiration in life would be to be happy.
Thank you.
drank it. I get filthy when that liquor get it to me. I've been thinking. Why can't I keep my fingers off it, baby?
commenced. For the next 12 hours, all crime is legal. Emergency services will be unavailable. Your government thanks you for your participation.
Saturday, May 24th, Memorial Day weekend, in Washington, D.C., the House of Khan presents The Purge, 43K, Forever Khan. Your grand prizes include streetwear for $1,500, best dress for $1,000, mystery tag team performance, a Vogue Feminine Twister for $1,000, open to all shady tag team runway for $1,000 plus a $20 pop. Schoolboy versus Pretty Boy versus Thug for $999. Mini grams include Femme Queen Pretty Girl versus Banshee Cunt versus Up and Drag Realness for $500. Realness as a House for $500. Legendary and Iconic Performance for $500. Butch Queen Body for $500. Femme Queen Face for $500. Legendary Iconic Performance for $500, and a host of other cash categories that evening. Again, that's the House of Khan presenting The Purge, Saturday, May 24th, Memorial Day weekend in Washington, D.C. The location, Upscale Ballroom. Admission, $30. Your commentators will be the Icons, Jack and Selvin Mizrahi, Memphis and Athena Khan, and R.J. Balenciaga. Your DJ, Bonalore St. Laurent. For more information, visit Facebook's event page, May 24th, The Purge. The iconic House of Ebony's Midwest chapter presents The Dynasty, May 3rd in St. Louis, Missouri. Grand prize, house with the most trophies for $2,000. Mini grams include Open to All Butch Queen Sex Siren for $500, Open to All Runway for $250, Open to All Face for $250, Realness as a House for $250, and Performance as a House for $250. Again, that's the Dynasty Ball, May 3rd in St. Louis, Missouri. The location, Skadium, 120 Catalan Street in St. Louis. LSS begins at 2 a.m. and the guest list will be closed when it starts, so be on time. Your commentators include The Icons, Jack and Selvin Mizrahi, legendary Kevin Jay-Z Prodigy, Greg Laven, and Father Memphis Khan. Again, that's the Midwest House of Ebony presenting The Dynasty Ball in St. Louis, Missouri. Come share a Dynasty weekend to remember, with over $3,500 in cash prizes. For more information, visit Facebook and the event page on May 3rd, or go to the House of Ebony's website at houseofebony.wix.com for more information. Malcolm Balenciaga and legendary father Larry Mizrahi present Behind the Music, Saturday, April 5th, in Louisville, Kentucky. Grand prize, tag team performance for $1,500. Michael and Janet Jackson, one twister, let's team up with a Butch Queen in Drag for a Vogue Femme. Mini grams include Open to All Runway for $500. Femme Queen Performance, Beyonce for $400. Male Figure Realness for $200, Female Figure Realness for $200, and a host of other cash categories. Again, that's Saturday, April 5th in Louisville, Kentucky. Tables will be $100 before March 9th and $150 after. Your commentators, the Icons Jack Mizrahi and Selvin Mizrahi. And your DJ, legendary Bonalore St. Laurent. Your host hotel, The Gulf House, $89 a night. Call 1-800-843-4700. 4258 and use code Behind the Music. This weekend begins Friday and an aftermath will be Sunday. Make your plans now. Contact Larry or Malcolm on Facebook or visit the event page April 5th for more information.
Welcome to the State of Emergency Show. I am your host, Jasmine Couture, and tonight we will be talking about skin color. That is what tonight's topic will be about. We will be highlighting the skin. But now we'll be talking about the skin and skin color and how it plays, you know, what roles it plays in our life. There's been a lot of controversy over the past couple of weeks in reference to some of the other topics that, you know, we have been talking about, and people have their opinion on, you know, certain preferences when it comes to, like, dating or people that they see and even the children that they would like to bear. So we're going to talk about that. It's kind of piggybacking off of last week's episode where we kind of talked about, I forgot. y'all know what I'm talking about. Listen, I ain't feeling good tonight at all. I was not going to come on and do a show, but I'm here. But you guys are going to have to bear with me, but I wasn't doing too good today, so, you know, work with me here. That's why I have my lovely panelist that will be here to back me up tonight during all the madness. Don't forget that next Monday we will be having a special episode at 11 p.m. on Tenzer Chops. It will be our six-year anniversary show. We will not be doing a recap of any events that took place that weekend. I don't even know what's taking place this weekend. But we will be doing our special anniversary show. Then we'll push into the recap maybe later in the episode if there was anything spectacular, which I doubt. And we'll be back on Tuesday for a full recap if there was, as well as the Trash Tuesday cast, and we will be back next Wednesday for another episode of the State of Emergency. So, our six-year anniversary show will be live on the air next week, next Monday, so make sure you guys tune in. We will have special guests, as well as all our cast members and panelists are welcome to be a part of that show. 6 years on the air, 6 years giving you guys Blog Talk Radio. Where were you 6 years ago? You know, there's always a new, fresh group in this generation of generation people. There's always a fresh new group of faces. You know, all these young kids come out. And, you know, 6 years ago, where were you? And that's where we started this. And it's been a long, long time that we've been on the air coming to you guys three times a week. And a lot of people came behind us, and a lot of them are no longer here, and a lot of people are still trying to swim, but I don't know. I can't call it. But we're here, as liked as we are or as hated as we are. And don't forget to visit our Facebook page at facebook.com /ballroomradio and click the like button. Go to our like page on Facebook and click the like button, please. It means a lot if you do it. You never know what you'll get for doing it. All right, let's get the show started because I'm tired of talking. I don't feel good. Joel, see, if I bring you on the air, I'm going to read you. I let you say what you want to say in your little chat and stuff, but I might have to give you a break, honey, because you tried it. You don't play with me when it comes to money, honey. Miss Tiffany, why can't I add my friend to the group? What group are you trying to add a friend to, Miss Thing? Miss Tiffany, who doesn't like to listen to the beats on the radio? She's the key. All right, let's get this show on the road. Jason, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you? It's just like I just talked to you like 20 minutes ago.
20 times in one day, right?
I know. People can't take.
I know. Got to keep it that way.
Okay.
I like when they can't take, though. It's so common that people can't take. It's such a hated, you know, these queens are so, y'all so hateful, like, I don't get it. I know.
Right.
It's just bad. It's a sad world that we live out in out there. Shout out to my good girlfriend. I hope you're still listening. Girl, Miss Sekula Beja, how are you? Shout out to you. I have not seen or heard from you in eons, and this is a girl that knew Jasmine Couture before she was Jasmine Couture. Miss Thing, I can't wait to catch up with you, but shout out to you and God bless you, and it's so good to hear from you. Miss Facebook really gets you in contact with the girls. I live. That's one thing I can say. The girls that you haven't seen forever, it's good to know that they're still here and we're still live and kicking and we're still doing our thing. And, you know, there's also some of them girls you don't want to hear from, honey, and they be hitting you up. But thank God for the block feature and you ain't got to hear from them no more. So, oh, yeah, and another thing about this Facebook, honey, I hear they're rolling out this new thing as far as you're able to put your gender on there, male, female, transgender, and all the rest of that stuff. If I see some nasty-ass butch queen putting that they're a femme queen or a female on their Facebook page, I swear to God you will be red. And even if you want to play in drags for the week, don't change it. Y'all be playing. I could see y'all playing with that new feature on Facebook. Y'all just be bored. Really bored, right, Joel? How are you, Joel?
Hi, Jazzy. How are you?
How you doing?
Now you know that you got that card, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
That queen got a stand right there next to you. I got confirmation,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Hey, Jason.
We got it.
Hey, Joel. Well, Joel.
Is it Joel or is it Joe? What is it?
It's Joel, but he says Joel, so it's cute. So I'll let him say that.
Oh, so Jason, you got nicknames for them now?
Oh,
so do I ever.
I hear that you're not feeling okay, Javi.
Nah, I wasn't doing too good today.
We can fix that.
It's crazy.
Okay. I'm just laying
all
back
right,
sipping on
Calvin, me. How are you, darling?
Hi, how are you, Jasmine? Hi, Jason. Hi, Joel.
Hey,
hi.
Calvin. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. How was your weekend?
I don't want to talk about it.
So while we're picking up everybody on the line, Joel, what are you Hispanic? Are you mixed? What are you?
I am from the West Indies. That's all I can say. Well, you know, I'm a mix of a lot of things.
Okay, got you. All right, so far we got three yellow people on the line. Okay,
ooh,
here we go.
And what color are you, miss?
Miss Thing,
four yellow people on
white
the line.
Woman. I'm white woman with a
okay.
tan. I mean, we.
And most light-skinned people are, will say they white women. That's
hello.
Mm. I'm like white woman.
Okay,
and
at least
what?
We can put in blue contacts and pass.
Yeah, some people just can't get away with the contacts. Y'all need to stop.
Mm.
How do I like the page we were talking about at the beginning of the show? I'm going to send it to you. There should be a like button on there when you click it. Oh, you're so sweet. Shout out to my girlfriend, Miss Maggie. Justin, you're on the air.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Jess. Hey, Joel. Hey, Uncle Jason.
Hey.
How are we doing? Uncle
Jason.
What?
Did he call you Aunt Jason?
No, he didn't say Aunt.
y'all gays really get to me sometimes. Y'all gays really do it. I just can't do
this
it.
This is okay.
Gays.
Let me tell y'all. Let me share a story with y'all real quick. One, I think it was last year or this year or whatever it was. I was fixing dinner for a couple of my gay kids. And this white woman gave very, do they call you mother? And I said, well, one does and one calls me father, depending on what mood they in. She was like, she cussed me, how they calling you mother? I was like, because I'm mother.
Thank you.
Well, if you carry those roles, you know what I'm saying, like, I didn't call you Aunt Jason. I didn't do that. But when you carry those roles as far as leadership or whatever you're doing, as far as in dealing with kids or dealing with people in general, sometimes, especially in the scene, we automatically, for some reason, do that. I don't know what that is, but it's just our inherent instinct of doing that. But, yeah. I'm going to start calling
you. All right, let's get to some of these other people before we start getting into this. And I just want to put a disclaimer out. Please don't take anything that I say or anyone says on this show offensively. We're just having fun. So if I call you guys gay and stuff, don't, child, please, get over it. If I call y'all yellow and all the rest of that stuff, get over it, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I know what the fuck is going on. We have a caller, but I don't know if you're a part of the panelists or not, but you're in the web, so I'm just going to go to you now. 309-558, you're on the air. 309-558. Okay. You made my board look a little disorganized. I have my white daughter, all the way from Texas. J-Rock, you're on the air.
What's going on?
Wait a minute.
How are you?
So, J-Rock, you're not really related to me? It makes sense now.
What the hell are you talking about?
Jasmine just calls you her child, so it makes sense now that you're not related to me. Don't nobody in my family.
Did you say thank God?
Yeah, because nobody in my family got big noses like that.
Oh, the shade.
How are you, J-Rock? What's going on?
Nothing. I took a shower before the show, and it's kind of draining. You know, I washed my ass.
Thank God.
So,
finally.
Because Jason talking about I need to wash, make sure I wash my
finally.
Wash my ass. I take baths. But this insanity is kicking my butt.
Baby.
You're doing that insanity workout?
Mm-hmm. It's still good, though, but, not while you're doing it.
But isn't
that
the same workout they make
up.
Y'all do doing boot camp in the service? So you should be used to that.
No. See, I went to work out this morning with all the people that's below me, and we had to, you know, by us being we got to act like we not hurt. So I'm out there running and trying to motivate them, but in my head I'm like, oh, bitch, you know. So I had to eat it up. So I got my ass kicked this morning, and I forgot about it, got off of work, and was like, okay, this is day – I'm only on day three, but I was like, this is day three of insanity. But I got through it, so I don't care. I was sweating like a motherfucker.
I need to order that, then. This weekend, I'm going to go ahead and order mine, then.
I'm doing 25, so it's
I'm about to order it, too, since they wanted to read the cast yesterday talking about why everybody's sick, honey.
Okay. Well, they called that big girl.
But hey, we working on it. What you doing?
Wait a minute. They said y'all was all big girls?
Yeah. Not just us, Jasmine. No, not just us. Misty Lake in the room. She said, get into it. That's the cast is almost full with big girls. So I said, well, Misty Lake, who's the big girl? They said you, Callie, me, Tiffany, Calvin.
And that's it.
That's it.
I am sexy, fine, and slim.
Y'all can't motherfucking take.
That's
what I'm saying. So motherfucking what? The damn show is hosted by motherfucking big girl. And what? Y'all lucky I ain't hear that shit. Oh, for real?
I am not a big girl. I am 6'4". Thank you.
You can call the pot black or dark black, but either way, you're big.
Oh, shit.
Hold on.
Well,
Uber. Yes, I like to place a call for an Uber because I need to smack a bitch.
Melissa, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Mother, I hope you feel better.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Melissa.
Oh, what's going on?
Are you home yet, though?
So how's your trip going?
Oh, my God, I want to go home already. I'm homesick.
Oh.
See.
I'm ready to go. I'm going home, like, in a couple of days, like, 3 days.
Child, she said that she'll be there for the month of March.
Oh, no.
She always say that. Melissa, they said you a big girl, too. So how you like being a big girl?
Honey.
They can't take.
Oh, my God. My stomach hurts.
We can't help. We got a fridge full of food.
Okay.
You mad because we can afford food? Girl, food.
My mama told me.
I don't know about y'all, but I don't know about any of y'all because I'm skinny. So fuck you.
Skinny white woman, yes, God.
Yes.
I'm very skinny. Y'all can look at the receipt, bitch.
No, I would encourage anybody if you feel like you want to change something, if you feel like you want to lose some pounds, T25 is pretty cool. That's what I started doing. It's pretty good. They help you do your meals. They help you try to learn how to burn your calories and stuff like that. So it's a pretty good thing. I don't know how far insanity thing that J-Rock is doing, how far they go, but what I'm doing, I'm part of Team Beachbody right now. So this is like my second or third week. So my whole goal is just to lose my belly for the summer so I can say, hey, Daddy.
Yes. I need to lose 10 pounds for big boy pride. Yes, God, for big boy pride.
I already got my two-piece ready for the beach, so.
My goal is to get ready for the 25th because I will be purged.
Oh, why?
Yes, go ahead and do the advertisement, bitch.
Hold on, y'all. Bishop, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, folks? How y'all doing?
Bishop.
So, Bishop, you a big girl, too?
You know what I am. Yeah, I need to lose some pounds. Get this stomach back.
Listen, we're not going to sit here and talk about all this stuff, honey, because that's the reason why I'm sick now. So I don't even want to talk about all this weight shit. Bishop, welcome to the air. Really quickly, let me go to these next two callers because they keep pressing one, and then let's get the show on the road. Private caller, you're on the air. private caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey,
hi, Mama Jones.
Bark, Mama Jones.
Hey, Mama Jones. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just want to let the girls know, no matter how much workouts they do, they would never be the girls in the picture.
Right. Hold on. Hold on. Mama Jones, you right. Because I'm always be the boy on the poster of it.
Did she just say we'll never? Wait, wait. Did she just say we will never be the girls in the picture?
You will never.
So this is coming from this. So Miss Mama Jones and her anorexic ass got the nerve to try to talk.
Yeah.
All right.
She needs to go sit on team. Okay, she can go sit on team dog skin side of the table. She can't sit with us.
We're going to be separating the panelists in a minute. And, you know, we're going to have our tables. And then we're going to have the dark-skinned girls, the light-skinned girls, you know, the caramel-complected girls and shit. So we'll be getting to that in a second. Miss Mama Jones, can you fix your little Android device? Because we can't hardly hear you.
It's actually a Nokia. Let me fix
that. Hold on. All right. 323, you were on the air. You were pressing one. Press one again for me, 323. Unless
yes,
you didn't want to have nothing to say.
The girls
Michi did say that she was going to try to tune in with us, but she is dealing with Fashion Week or Fashion something. Where she's at. She's at Fashion Week. Fashion Week. I'm at Fashion Week Fashion on the Film Festival. Oh, okay. Girl, press one. I don't see you no more. Press one.
Can't feel what I
Somebody's breathing really hard. I guess it's part of the weight issue.
That's why they said that last night. Somebody was breathing hard into the phone. That's what the whole issue was.
I think it was J-Rock watching Grindr videos.
I'll tell you. J-Rock tuned out for the last 30 minutes of the show.
Michi, hurry up and press one so you can say what you got to say so we can get this out the way because I don't see you. Okay, there you go. Michi, you're on the air.
Hello, everyone. Good evening.
Hey, Michi.
Hi, Michi.
Hi, how are you guys doing? I really don't have enough time to address, you know, the foolishness and chaos and bullshit. But I just want to give a little enlightenment on the situation. You know, it's no motherfucking shame. First of all, I don't know where the fight came from, Miss Kelly girl. Ain't nobody had no physical altercation, girl. Don't come busting up to try to make it hot, girl. Wasn't a physical altercation. You know, the question was asked in regards to the whole, you know, the whole snitch rumor tease. My response, radio listeners, is very much this. If I didn't say it, don't ask me. Talk to the girl in the picture on the post. I'm not the girl in the picture on the post. So, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, I do this every day. I know how to read a rap sheet, and I can voice my own opinion.
Ooh.
But I really did not want to bring it publicly. I've never said anything publicly on the radio show. But since it came up, we can go Nancy Grace about the situation. I can break it down. I do this every day. But I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to go there because I'm a better person. And, you know, right now I'm out. I'm enjoying Fashion Week. I've had taken photos, doing magazine interviews, you know, continuing my success not only in what I love to do, fashion and music, but also in corporate America. I have my review today. Just so you girls know, I will now also be dealing with Case Records South. So all the girls down in Southern California, that L.A. area, guess what? Your cases are coming to my desk now as well. So I'm hoping none of the girls hit my desk.
Girl, you can't do that.
That's
oh,
my
no, no,
oldest
no, no, no.
child
Anything
right
that is
there.
Public can
That's
be discussed.
That's my oldest child.
Woo.
I'm not going to do any binges or anything like that. You know, we had our words. You know, she wanted to ask about the whole situation, and, you know, that was this, that, and the third. But, I mean, it was my whole thing, again, was it's never came up on the radio show for myself. I've never brought it up. No one's never brought it up. It's almost 2 weeks past due, so why bring it up now? You know what I'm saying? That's my whole thing. Why bring it up now? I haven't made any posts about it or anything, so why bring it up now? That's my whole thing. My whole thing was I was trying to keep it from this because it goes deeper than just, okay, did you say that I snitched or who said that I snitched or anything? You know, it goes deeper than that. You know what I'm saying? It'll bring out the whole tea and pour the whole cup. And one thing about me is, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I am still a respectful person, a respectful character, where the tea is this. And, it, you know, it draws a line. And, I mean, you know, I take notes from, like, Jasmine. Her own child has gone through a whole situation, the whole, you know, and she paid it. Jasmine never brought it up on the show. She never wanted to discuss it, and she killed it when it tried to come through. You know what I'm saying? So I learned that everything is not for platform radio. And, you know, some things just kind of got to kind of leave to the side and take your own gut feeling and suck it in. You know, so that's just, hi, how you doing? So, you know, that's just that. So, you know, I love everyone.
Hi, Michi. So you see any celebrities out there where you're at? Anybody sad?
I actually did. Right about now, probably I'm like my fourth Shadow Patron. But I actually did meet a Kings player, but it was more on a business thing. I was taking pictures, and then I did the film. I was in a fashion film, doing a documentary circle around fashion. They're doing a fashion on film festival thing tonight, which is where I'm at, and they premiered the documentary that I was a part of. And when I came in, you know, certain people, you know, I'm always going to bring that look to life. Of course, it's Sacramento, you know, it's, fashion is coming forward. It's something kind of different, something kind of new. And so, one of the people, a gentleman gravitated. He came over, he's supposed to introduce himself, and he plays for the Kings. And he was like, do you style? Are you into styling? So that's the only person I met so far. I don't know who else is in the room. The room is getting packed and packed and packed as the night goes on. It is a great crowd. It's a good energy. I'm loving it. I had a couple of the independent producers here. I was trying to get to come on and say a few things. I don't know where they went to. So if I can find them, I'm going to definitely call back in and let them come in and talk about Fashion Week here in Sacramento, just to kind of bring kind of like a different little, you know, bring some livelihood to the little, you know, tonight. Why are y'all gagging? Why are you gagging?
Jasmine, Tiffany's
trying
to get on
with you. Miss Tiffany. Tiffany wants to say hello to you. Tiffany, you're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine.
I'm supposed to call her.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, Sis.
Hey,
listen, Jasmine, girl. Listen, Jasmine. She's being very politically correct right now. But I will say this. At my job today, around 2 o'clock, he called my phone at my job and said he was going to get on here tonight. He was going to be very Nancy Grace, and he was going to get divine to her in her place.
Girl, that is not what was said. What I said was, let me repeat what I said, because now you're interpreting it wrong. What I said was, I would be wrong if I got on here and was very Nancy Grace about the situation. Now, that's what I said. Now don't sit there and try to reinterpret it, girl. And, girl, I called my sister because I was steaming, piping hot, girl, because I didn't understand. I'm still like, I'm confused. Because my whole thing was I didn't come for that. I didn't go cutthroat with that. And I could have went there, or I could have, you know, brought it out or brought it some out, but I didn't. I paid it. You know what I'm saying? I just kept it moving because to me, you know, it was something that I could have talked with her about and express her how I felt, you know, and how things came about, and then the whole situation of why are you asking me about something that I did not post. I made no posts. I made no subliminal posts. I have no fake profiles. The Bishop Meech is me, Meechy Ebony. I have no fake profiles. The boy in the picture is me. So, you know, it's no shade. I mean, you know, like, I'm not, I mean, because at the end of the day, whether it affects her, at the end of the day, my brother is still going to be affected by this as well, because then it brings on his whole situation, and I have to relive that whole moment. And if anybody was there when my brother went through that whole time where he actually had to go, you know, turn that date, it was not the best time for the Bay Area. It's no shade. It wasn't college, it wasn't fireworks. So, you know.
All right, Michi, this is what we're going to do. Well, thank you so much, sweetie, and enjoy Fashion, the film festival, and just hit call us back if you want to come back on.
Oh, no, I'm going to stay on because I see Miss Tiffany is trying to, I'm going to mute my phone because I see she ready to dance, and we're going to dance tonight.
Because we are not
going to
do this
what
tonight, because I don't even know. I'm going to put you out private. Yeah, better stop.
Okay.
All right, Michi. Mute your phone, Michi. And Tiffany, she ain't going to talk about it. All right. Miss Tiffany, girl, how are you?
Hi, Jasmine. How have you been? I've been great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Tiffany comes through like Star
Jones. I told y'all that I'm white woman, right? Because I do feel like a dumb blonde right now. I don't even know what the fuck y'all talking about.
Me neither. That's the thing, though.
I really don't even know what's going on. I guess this is like one of those things where you have to listen to all the episodes to be caught up to date because it seems like things just start carrying over to the next episode and the next episode.
What the fuck
is everybody talking about?
Tiffany, if you listened to last night's episode, you need to stop listening around at the 2:30 point.
What is that noise?
Who is ringing the glasses?
Who's on the subway?
Hello?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you listen to last night's episode, you need to stop listening at the 2:30 point.
Stop listening at the 230 point.
Amen.
What y'all was talking about, Charles? You know, mother got to step in and make sure that the show is being done correctly, because if I get one email from Blog Talk saying y'all carrying.
It was nothing bad. It was just men sitting around the round table, because that's all we was left with was the Butch Queen.
Butch Queen Hour.
I wasn't left with me, because all I heard was say goodbye.
You had a date.
You were asleep or breathing hard. Wait.
So y'all had a Butch Queen Hour last night. I do apologize to my lovely women out there that had to listen to that rigmarole.
Because I got a bunch of inboxes from women that was asking me questions like, what's the top, what's the bottom?
Who's painting who?
Yes. They was like, that was
God,
very
thank God I didn't hear it.
They was like, can you
God,
please make that a part
that.
Of the last one? I was like, okay.
Wait, is Tiffany
that girl from the video that was like
chilling with my sister? We boys. Oh, shit. Yeah. No, we're weak. What did Skeletor say? I mean, Mama Jones.
The difficult Skeletor.
I'm sorry.
You got that.
I got the power of Grayskull looking ass lady.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
What you said now?
She said that girl, honey, that girl. I don't even know.
All right, honey, let's get into tonight's topic.
Let's divide the platform right here now. Tiffany, do you consider yourself a, you know, dark and lovely? What do you consider yourself? Light? What are you?
Well, are we talking about before or after the Mac?
Ooh.
Before.
Before the Mac.
To look at in the mirror after you get out of the shower.
I consider myself to be cafe au lait.
Is that a color?
Mm.
Yeah. What color is that?
Girl, what the hell are you doing?
Whatever
girl.
That little color.
I'm
what
not
did you grow up as?
I'm in the middle. I'm caramel.
Is
girl,
that
you're
not.
How
much
girl.
Do you, how much do you pay? I'm the only how much do you pay for that?
No, I'm caramel. I'm not dark skin. I'm not dark skin. I'm not light skin. So what? I'm in the middle.
You're caramel when you do the makeup.
Was either light brown or dark?
Out.
Your current man when you do the makeup.
In the '50s. In the '50s, like when the people say I'm paper bag brown.
You not no paper bag brown. I'm paper bag brown.
That's just the makeup.
Oh.
Oh Lord. Where y'all get this? Oh Lord. I'm gonna be nice with this Jasmine night. Lord help me.
We gave you love last night. We were talking about how you do makeup.
We gave you mad love last night.
Okay.
I was sleeping. Well, I couldn't get on. The man was making me mad. He kept saying, "Thanks for calling." Because I was like, "Oh, Jasmine." So I went to bed. I went to sleep. I'm sorry. I missed you guys. I miss all of you guys.
I miss you
Jasmine.
Too.
Who is that they miss me too?
Oh.
You could always
we all miss you,
come.
Tiffany.
So, Tiffany, if you lay down in the snow, would you be seen or yes or no?
Would I be seen? I don't know. I might blend in with white.
Oh,
God. Oh, God. You paint real
come
good.
Come on with these
you
nasty
real
ass
well.
Videos that be coming up on my timeline. I'm just going to start blocking people.
Okay.
Hello.
Like I had to block
oh
Bishop
God.
From all them damn groups.
Mm-mm. All
every
right,
time
let's get into
tonight's
topic. Who's
every
playing
time I
a game or something?
That inbox is Jasmine.
I keep hearing a beep.
Well, mute your inbox, please.
You got sound effects for your inbox? Your inboxes?
Yeah, somebody yeah, play a Flappy
it
Bird.
It was my inbox, Jasmine. I'm sorry. I'm going to put my phone down. I'll put my phone down.
Okay. All right, let's talk about tonight's topic. Where is the girl of the hour, honey? Where's Miss Shamika?
She paid it? Where's hold on, Shamika?
Somebody
oh,
get Shamika, honey. She knew they was going to get her tonight. Somebody get Shamika.
Yes.
She's been missing since American Horror Story been off.
She was on last night.
Right. Let's talk about, you know, skin color. And I'm just going to give a couple of examples of it really quickly, but I'll let you girls take over with, you know, the topic itself. It was brought to my attention that, you know, certain people wanted to talk about skin color when it's related to our lifestyle, our community, even in ballroom, as well as even the division within our community, you know, with the houses and certain people that are allowed in certain houses. Certain houses are known for, you know, certain categories, and some of those categories are known for this and that, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. When you look at certain houses, for example, you look at, like, houses like Extravaganza. Even at some points, House of Infinity was really known for, you know, Hispanics only. Not all the, you know, all of them, but, you know, it was kind of known that predominantly there were more Hispanics in the house. And then there was also other houses that didn't allow, you know, certain type of complexions within the house, or they just weren't known for it. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about that. We also want to talk about, you know, how some girls, when it comes time for some of these categories out there, some of the girls with a certain type of complexion will get through a little bit better than some of the other girls. And then when you do find that dark and lovely child, you know, she's the one, the breathtaking one, the one that really stands out the most. You know, she's highlighted because of, you know, her complexion itself, but yet not based on the talent. So there's just a lot of examples when we talk about skin color when it comes to what we're talking about tonight. And I want everyone to feel free to be able to call in and give us their opinion on it. And not just within ballroom itself or, you know, the categories or competition, but within your lifestyle as well. You know, there has been times where we have heard people bring up that they wouldn't date a light-skinned guy, or they only date light-skinned guys or light-skinned women. They prefer to only date dark-skinned people, or vice versa. Light-skinned people won't date anyone that is light-skinned. They will only date dark-skinned, or things of that sort. And then we have the topic of people that state that if they have a child, they would prefer their child to not be of a certain complexion. as well as people just will not date out of their race, like for or they will only date out of their race. Like if you're black, you know, you won't date another black person. You only will date, you know, Hispanic or Caucasian, anything like that. So I just want to get everyone's opinion and feedback on how they feel it comes to within skin color. Do you feel that maybe as you were growing up, you were discriminated against because of your complexion? Did you maybe have a brother or a sister that may have had a, you know, a different complexion than you? Maybe she had better hair or something like that, and she got more attention than you did. You know, little things like that. I want everyone to feel free to be able to talk about it, express their opinions and stuff. The platform is yours. Again, the state of emergency is for you, and it's for you to talk about. And the way to show goes, if for those people that are listening for the first time, we pretty much go down the list with our panelists, everyone that is on the air, and we pretty much go one by one in the order that they have called in to give their feedback or their opinion or their examples or whatever, and then we pretty much take questions and stuff like that. I don't like when everyone talks over everyone. So I'm going to start at the top, Jason. Tell people a little bit about who you are as far as your complexion as, you know, a yellow girl, and give them an example of who you are, Miss Ng. Go, Jason.
Well, my nationality, I would consider – oh, can somebody do that with their phone, fix it? On my mom's side of the family, I am Jamaican, Caucasian, and black. On my father's side of the family, I am Puerto Rican, Caucasian, and German. So I am of a fair skin. Growing up has been difficult for me because I went from going from private school to public school. So when I was in private school, I was around more people that were my color. I didn't prefer to be around people that were my color, but that's just what happened. So when I got transferred to public school, it became a different scenario. I don't have anything against dark-skinned people in general. I prefer to be, if I'm in a relationship, I would prefer to be with someone darker than me, and the reason being is because of some of the stereotypes that as a light-skinned man we face, that some of us are arrogant, some of us are very conceited, some of us do think that the world revolves around us, and I'm not one of those people. It took me a long time to get comfortable in my skin for the simple fact because of Black History Month, once I transferred from private school to public school, whenever Black History Month was always brought up, because I was one of the lighter people in my classroom, teachers would always use me as the example of if we were in slavery days, Jason would be in the house and you all would be outside and Jason would be in the house comfortable. So when things like that are put into your head at an early age. If someone already didn't like you, that just made things worse. So you would get called like, oh, so you think you're better than us? You read this, you read that, da da da, and all of those type of things. So that played on my psyche for a long time because it made me think that I had to prove my blackness. I had to prove to these people that I was black. I was just as black as them. Whereas I looked at myself that no matter what, in the eyes of a white man or Caucasian person, we all black. No matter where my ancestors came from, wherever they got dropped off on that island, we all descended from Africa. So at some point, we're all black. Do I think that in my family, it was just being fair-skinned on my father's side was a curse because the lighter you were, the better she treated you. My grandmother would treat you. So my cousins that were much darker than me, they could play in the yard, but they couldn't come in the house until it was dinner time. I could play in the yard. Oh, I could play in the yard. I could play in the house, but my grandmother only wanted me to play with the white children in her neighborhood, which was shady. So because that happened, when I would go home to my mother, I would say things like, "Oh, when I get married, I'm not marrying a woman darker than you." And my mother caught offense to that. And she wanted to know where that behavior was coming from. And then she went, and once she found out, she sat me down. She said, well, did you, okay, you know their history. Let me tell you our history. Your great-grandfather came over on a banana boat from Jamaica. And he settled in New York City, and his grandfather was a British soldier who married Jamaican women so that they could get their citizenship. So don't you ever forget that on one side it might look like this, but on the other side it looks like that. So you need to embrace everybody in your family. So that's my history of where I came from. We ain't even gonna talk about the journey.
Joelle.
Oh, God. Well, like I said, I'm West Indian, but it's predominantly more Dominican in my family. And growing up, I always gravitated towards, like, brown-skinned people and dark-skinned people. I never wanted to be around light-skinned people because some of my family members were racist. Some Hispanic people think that because they're fair-skinned or lighter that they're better. And that, you know, that they don't want to mix the race up and they don't want to mix the skin complexion. So that, I don't know, like every time, let's say a family member would see me with a person that was brown skin or dark skin or whatever, they would ask me, like, what is it that you, why do you have these type of friends? And I'm like, listen, this is who I feel comfortable around. This is who I can relate to. I don't know why, but this is who I wanted to be around. And that had an impact on me because when I do date people, this is what I'm attracted to, like brown skin people, dark skin people, because I see that as like beauty, you know. Being light skin and being fair skin is like people glorify it nowadays and they put it on a pedestal, like, okay. And even in this day and age, people do, you know, they look at that as a like a good thing, or like, oh my God, you're better than somebody. Even in the workplace, whether you're going to buy something, whether you're going somewhere, you know, people still have that ignorant state of mind. And
hold on, Joelle. Experience. Hold on. Somebody needs to fix their phone because, again, here we go with the sound effects. If you know it's not your chance to talk and you know you're doing something in the background, please mute your phone so the person that is on the platform now talking can be heard, because we hear a whole bunch of stuff going on. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joelle.
And one thing that happened to me that really, like, opened my eyes was one time I had gotten into a store, and my friend went in before me, and she was a black girl. And, you know, I went after her, and the person that was in the store was like, oh, you need to watch her. I was like, and I said something to her. I'm like, what do you mean you need to watch my friend? And she was like, oh, no, I was just saying, because I was like, no, that's racist. And it was just like, really? Like, I don't know. But this whole, like, I just look at it like this. You're a human being. Some people have more pigmentation than others, and people have different skin complexions, different noses, different whatever. So it is what it is. That's my view.
Okay. No problem. That's right. Black is beautiful, Benita. Shout out to Benita Khan. Calvin, you're on the air.
By the way, Jasmine, I have Shamika on the line. I called her on three-way.
Yo. Shamika, girl, where you been?
I was wiped out from the show.
Then let me know and I can call you.
Go ahead,
Calvin.
Well, of course, well, I'm light-skinned. My nationality, ethnicity, on my mother's side, I'm Pawnee Indian and African-American, and on my father's side, I'm also African-American and Native American, but I don't know exactly what because I don't do with their side of the family. But growing up wasn't that hard for me. You know, I don't think that I'm no better than anybody else, but I really do enjoy being a light-skinned individual. Maybe because most of my family is light-skinned and I never really had to, I don't know. My grandmother on my father's side, I actually never got to meet her. She didn't believe I was my father's child because I was light-skinned. Now, the shade of all of that is that my cousins are light-skinned, but just because my dad was dark-skinned, you know, she thought that I wasn't my father's child. So I never got to be held or touched or anything like that. So I just don't know her. And she died before I was two. Growing up, like I said, nothing big
really happened with the light-skin, dark-skin thing. Now, I do have my own preference. I think dark-skin black is beautiful, but I prefer to date like my color or dark or lighter. I that's just who I am. And as you said, you know, Jasmine, some people think that if they have, I mean, want if they have a child to have a light-skinned child, I am one of them people. I don't know if you want me to go on details with it now, but, you know, I just believe that light-skinned people have it a lot easier. And it's no shade in what I'm saying. It's just that I have noticed that dark-skinned people get treated way differently than light-skinned people. And it's not a good thing. And I don't want my child to have to be, you know, looked at or looked upon or looked down on just because of his skin color. Yeah, that's about it.
Shamika, I don't know how much you were listening. Do you want to take the floor now, or you want us to come back to you?
Yeah, I've actually been listening to my TV before Kelvin called me on Thursday.
Okay, so give us your opinion on everything.
Well, me growing up as a dark-skinned girl, I felt, well, me personally, I was always the exception. Like, mostly all of my cousins, like, I have half black, half Asian cousins, half white, half black cousins. Like, I come from a multiracial family. And I was always the exception. Like, even when I would, like, meet people and it's like, oh, you're pretty for a dark-skinned girl. Like, that gets under my skin. I hate that. And even, like, when we travel as a family, I would get people, like, white women coming up to me, touching my face, like real-life color purple type shit. Oh, your cheekbones. Oh, because you're dark-skinned with dimples. Oh, because I was dark-skinned with long curly hair. Like, I was always the exception. Like, okay, you'll do. Like, it wasn't just normal. Like, it was never normal for me. You're just a pretty girl. Growing up with kids, like, especially when I went to private school, and I went to private co-ed school, so, like, the boys were really mean. But high school came around, those same boys tried to talk to me, so that never played out well for them. I don't know, I just felt like, not only in my family, not really my family, because they all love me, so, and then me being the only dark-skinned girl for my parents' children was kind of, you know, it was kind of different because my sisters were lighter skin, but as they got older, they changed into, like, caramel, lighter than paper, the paper bag thing, they're lighter than that. So it was always different. I was always, like, seen as, like, the bad child, maybe. I don't know why. Like, when I was young, I was the only child that had a child leash. Why? I don't know. I don't know if any of y'all had that, but, like, I was just always the demon child or the one who was a little too wild or hyperactive.
Okay. Thank you, Shamika. Justin.
Hey. Let the paper bag boy through. for me, my skin color has always been I'm just light enough to be accepted, and I'm just brown enough to be accepted by my own people. So I'm not super light skinned and I'm not super dark. And it's been always a weird thing. I've never really paid attention to it as closely until we really talked about it. I think it's been a couple times I looked at a couple things. But I've been in certain situations because I guess through my college years, I would be a part of productions as far as singing, choirs, and things like that. And the interactions with my white counterparts would be as such as they would always treat me positively, you know, as one of them. And if you were of a darker skin, they would really attack. They would be kind of horrible to the my other members. So it would be kind of funny, you know what I'm saying, to a certain extent that would be the situation that would go on, because at the end of the day, we're all black. My family or my history, my father is blue, black, purple. I think I shared a picture with Jason showing my dad, and I sent him a picture of my mom. And my mom is like, real, like, high yellow, I guess you would call her, and my dad is blue, black, purple. So I got a good mix of a little bit of everything. As far as myself, I see my people as just a rainbow. You know what I'm saying? We're all different shades of a wonderful color of brown and black, and it's beautiful. So when I encounter situations like we talked about last week, it frustrates me because I sit back and I look, and at the end of the day, we're all kind of in that same boat. We just have a couple of degrees of separation when it comes to how people perceive us and what they've been trained to think about us as, you know, and it's really weird. As far as dating, I guess somebody brought that up. I personally, I don't have a preference, but I love to see my skin against chocolate skin. That's how I feel. And that is just some weird thing I have, and I think I get it from my mother because it's just certainly hereditary, because when I look at it, the people I dated in the past, majority of the people I've had long-term relationships with have been dark-skinned men. So it's just been one of those things. But this color thing is crazy. Our people have always found ways to separate ourselves for some odd reason, back from the slavery days, you know, that was something that was ingrained in us, and it has stayed with us, and it's a stigma that for some reason our African features or our African color is a negative thing.
If anything,
it makes us even more beautiful because we have, instead of one pale shade of opaque pink or whatever, we have so many different selections of colors, and it's just a rainbow that you can never probably get another kind of. You know what I'm saying? My golden hue, you probably would never find. So it's just one of those things. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, J-Rock.
Child, I live in the South.
Is he asleep?
No, I'm not asleep. I'm just talking slow today. I mean, damn. Do I have to be crazy every day? Now, when I was growing up, I really didn't have, like, the only thing that bothered me was when my little brother just bust out crying one day and said, "Don't nobody love me." And I asked him, "Why do he feel that way?" He said, "Nobody loves me but you and Grandma." And I was like, "Why?" He said, "'Cause I'm black." And I bust out crying because I was like, I was like 16 years old, and I was like, he honestly felt that way. And that made me catch how all the kids and, you know, even family members would say, "Little black ass," or either looking out, be like, "Don't do that, don't do that," you know, because that really did hurt him. He ended up growing up being a damn hoe. So all the girls love him, but when he was little, it was like, "Oh, the black one, black ass, black, black, black," you know. They call him a California raisin and everything. But then when he got older, you can't keep the girls off of him.
See, that's the thing I really like, J-Rock.
Right. And then the only thing that I can say that I experienced personally, like I said, I grew up around Hispanic, white, black. I didn't really see racism where I come from in Dallas. The only thing I've ever seen was when I went to Pascagoula, Mississippi, and I put my thumb out for a taxi, and the taxi passed by me and stopped immediately for a group of white people. And I jumped in the taxi, pulled the white people out, and said, "No, I stopped this taxi." And me and my shipmates got in the car, and the taxi cab driver, he was actually light-skinned. And I'm looking at him like, "Are you fucking serious?" You know, and I automatically knew that he felt like he didn't know we was in the military or nothing. He just seen a bunch of young black people. Hell no, I'm not stopping for them at 1 o'clock in the morning. But there goes those white folks. You know, so I don't know what was going on with that. As into dating, when it comes down to guys, for some reason I keep getting attracted to yellow people. When it comes down to girls, I like old ratchet, hood rat, you know, "Bitch, don't try me." I like dark. I like chocolate dark. Slap a bitch. If I jump, this bitch jump with me. That's why when I go to New Orleans and I see a chocolate girl, and she be like, "Yay, you heard me, baby and all that, I'd be like, ooh, take you home. So that's me.
Wait a minute.
I thought this was real tonight. I needed a silence for that one, child.
Did he just say that he's attracted to yellow guys but ratchet black girls? So you're attracted to girls too?
Take you home again, J-Rock.
You know, I thought this was really where you could just J-Rock. Be honest.
No, you can be honest. No, but sweetie, you're being honest, and I love, you know, I love and appreciate the honesty, but I'm being honest too. And did you really just say that?
I've said it before. I do like girls.
Warning, freak alert. Warning, freak alert.
I just don't say that all the time because you know how gay people is. You say you like girls, they be like, oh, whatever, child, blah, blah. Okay, well, fuck you. Ask the girls that I've been with.
Now it answers everything. This is why you go back and forth with Kelly, because you like that ghetto ratchet ass. That's why you like Kelly.
Yeah, there it is.
Boy, that's what it is. Mama Jones, what do you feel about all of this?
You know, growing up as a Tophie Brown girl.
I want that cigarette.
Did she say Tophie Brown?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to deal with a lot. I was followed in stores a lot. You know, I would come in, you know, a white girl would come before me and she won't get followed, and I would get followed if I came in next. You know, I try to flag down a taxi and they won't stop for me because I'm black. I mean, I just think it's out of control and all these black little boys getting killed and all these white guys getting getting out of jail and stuff like that. I think it's getting out of control, and the more people hate each other and fight against each other, nobody is going to respect us.
You're right about that as well. Okay. Bishop, the floor is yours.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, yeah. Bishop.
Well, first of all, I was my mother's half Creole. Her mother is full Creole, from out of Biloxi, Mississippi, and on my father's family is Cherokee Indian. When I was born light skinned. I can show the pictures in the group. I was born light skinned. And it never came up to me that how did I get brown skin? So I always wondered about that. Always wondered about, you know, dang, how did I get this certain color when my baby pictures is basically light skin colors? So I never ever really kind of got discriminated over my color, but I have discriminated over someone else's color, like the females or the transgender choice. I can't stand light-skinned females nor light-skinned transgender women. But I've grown to, grown to like, you know, their color, like light skin color. The thing is, I think it's just like a situation where you have this stereotype, and that's the main thing I want to say, this stereotype. We all had this stereotype, like brown skin people, their stereotype, white people's stereotype. For example, a white person, oh, yeah, hey, how you doing? You know, we all think of that. light-skinned people. For me, I think, okay, light-skinned people stuck up because I'm thinking it's stereotype because I see it and I observe it from light-skinned people all, like, majority of the time I do, but the thing is you never know where they're coming from or what stereotype they came from. You already got in your mind that, okay, they basically stuck up because they're light-skinned. But they may be they may have the same background you had or you have. You know, going on and on about this, I just think about the main thing of we all came from the same place. We all came from the same background. You got to just do, like, I remember Oprah had on her show, she had the ancestor part of everybody, and you had white people, you know, slave owners, Indians, all the races with these celebrities that were finding out who their kin was. And then, you know, they basically started to go in like, dang, I can't believe that this person was my kinfolk. I can't believe this person was my ancestor. And I just think that we have to, you know, we have to look at sometimes just observe someone in order to stop trying to worry about their skin color and stop trying to worry about what we're always used to being worried about, because it could be a lot of people. Like, say, for example, I love motherfucking Melissa Love. You know why? Melissa Love is light-skinned. But Melissa Love, I did not really live for her at first. But when I started to get to know Melissa via inbox on Facebook, talking to her on the radio show, I really honestly understood and honestly understand, you know, some of the things she go through, and, you know, just basically understand, you know, yeah, I can't be, like, judgmental towards another color or towards the stereotype that I think another color is.
Thanks.
Okay.
Can I say something real quick before I forget?
Yes.
Willie Lynch he was a British slave owner in the West Indies. In 1912, he went to Virginia to teach his methods on how to control slaves to slave owners. Willie Lynch said, "Divide blacks by color, and that will be that way for 300 years." For instance, like, you know how they have Team Dark Skin and Team Light Skin?
Right.
It's still going on today. So what Willie Lynch did back then is still happening today, dividing the blacks by color.
Mama Jones, I spoke on that last week, and somebody brought to my attention that I actually read that, and I told Jasmine that I would bring that up because I actually have it up on my screen now, and I was going to read some of the passages from it. But I am, from what I'm being told, and I'm still trying to do research on it, is that from what I'm being told now is that that story, this Willie Lynch letter, is false. That it was that this never happened. Although as real as it may sound, they're saying that it's false. But I mean, even if it is false.
Okay, hold on before y'all get into that. We'll get into that. Thank you, Mama Jones and Jason. We'll get into that, but let's give everybody a chance to say what they got to say first before we go into, you know, history and stuff.
Okay.
Tiffany, thank you, Bishop. And Tiffany, you are next.
I really don't. To me, I'm just a black woman. You know, I don't really consider it really if you light-skinned or you really dark-skinned, because I really just feel like that is just another way to separate, you know, people. And I feel like light-skinned people do think a little bit that they have it easier, you know, in mainstream America, because white people will, you know, tend to be more friendly or be more open. But I'm like, that's really a misconception, too, because at the end of the day, when you walk away, they still be like, you just another nigga. You know what I'm saying? That's really what it is. I mean, they're willing to, you know, deal with you a little bit more based on your color, but they still see you as black. I believe the old rule is you got 1% drop of black and you black. And that's how they think about you, and, you know, that's just what it is. Now, I mean, people in everybody's family have people that's light-skinned, that's mixed. I mean, my grandmother is pale white. Like, you could see her veins through her. But the thing about her is she hates to be called light-skinned. Like, she doesn't like to be called light-skinned. She doesn't like to be called, you know, high yellow. And I asked her one day, I said, well, you know, Grandma, why you do you not like that? And she said, growing up, you know, that was like her stigma. Like, I guess black people or dark-skinned people, you know, would treat her bad, you know, growing up because she was light-skinned. You know, my grandmother's mother, my great-grandmother, she was from Bermuda, so she was like French and Latin and all this other stuff, and she was very light-skinned. And even my great-grandmother, Lord bless her soul, before she died last month, she would even treat my kids, you know, a little different. She still was high yellow, and she, you know, thought light was right. And she would say stuff like, oh, you know, Tiffany, don't let them kids stay out in the sun too long. You don't want them to get dark. And I'm like, what are you saying? Or like, my oldest, we all know my oldest has more of a black name, Nassim, and then my youngest name is Caleb. She loved Caleb because that's more white to her. Like, she would be like, she would just, like, take to him more, like, and always say, oh, well, you know, I can't pronounce that other name. I'm like, lady, look here, don't play with me, okay? You can pronounce that damn name, you know what I'm saying? And she always, you know, my great-grandmother was always like that. And my grandmother, on the other hand, she don't see color. She don't like for you to call her light skin. She don't like any of that. My grandmother would be like, I'm a black woman, and she is the lightest thing to light that, I mean, she's lighter than Jason, like, literally. She's dang near white. So it's just, like, it's really crazy. And then, like, it's crazy because, like, on my dad's side, my grandma, she light-skinned too, right? But she the kind that, I'm like, you're not even that light, but you want everybody to call you light-skinned. I'm like, girl, you one shade from being brown-skinned. Like, you're not really a light-skinned woman, if we want to be honest. But she want everybody to call her light-skinned. And I'm looking at her like, girl, Sally, sit down somewhere, honey, girl. You is not light like that. So it's just like, it's really crazy. And, like, growing up in my family, my mom is, like, kind of dark-skinned. And, like, my brothers and everything, they're, like, dark-skinned. So in my family, like, I was the only one, like, closest, like, you know, more, that's brown, I guess, than dark, like how my mom and my brothers are. But at the end of the day, I just feel like I'm a black woman because nobody's going to treat you any different than if you say, you know, oh, I'm light-skinned or I'm brown-skinned or whatever. I just think the separation comes from within our race more so than it comes from people on the outside, because to them, you black. Shit, they don't give a damn if you say you light-skinned or not. At the end of the day, you still going to be black. It's us who tear each other, you know, who tear us apart and try to separate ourselves. So that's what I find to be crazy about it.
But I think that they do treat us sort of differently, though, Tiffany. They do kind of people of other ethnicities. They do look at us differently. Yeah, some of them might look at us as we're all black. But when it comes down to accepting or using or just being around, they will be more accommodating toward a fairer skinned person of color.
No,
I'm just being real, I've seen it happen.
I agree with you on that. I'm not disagreeing with you about that. Yes, you know, people of other ethnicity, you know what I'm trying to say, they do seem to be more accommodating to a lighter, fair-skinned person. But my point is this. See, you saying that, right? But in actuality, what does that mean? Because just because in your face they're being nice to you and they're treating you more accommodating, but when you walk away, they still look at you as you just another damn black. They're not saying, you know what I'm saying? You still black to them.
I understand what you're saying. I totally understand what you're saying.
Like I said, I think it comes about the stereotype, of each race, or the stereotype of each color, you know, regardless. Like, say, for example, I know a friend of mine a couple of years back, he's light-skinned, and I don't normally have light-skinned friends, but he's light-skinned, and he went on the job interview got the job just like that. So I told a friend about it because he said that they were still hiring, and his friend had the same credentials, the same status. They were on the same level, but my other friend was actually better, more qualified for the position. So what ended up happening was he went to the same employer. And that employer was white, but he went to the same employer. He's brown skin, and they had knocked him down. They buffered him, gave him the whole 360, gave him the whole circle and the whole cycle, and he still didn't get the job. And the thing is, he was more qualified for the job. So I think it comes down to the stereotype also, because he's brown skin and my other friend is light skin and he's black. But yeah, I think it really came down to the stereotype and to the color of the skin.
Okay. Let's get to a caller really quickly. 516-884, you're on the air.
I know you love the baby. You know I'm like Kendo. Put me on hold.
What the hell? You know what? Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Okay. Hold on. Somebody wants me to call them. The lines are full. Thank you guys for tuning in to tonight's episode. Certain people can't get on, so we will try to call you. If you guys want to come on the air, you're listening from a computer, send somebody over your number, and we will try to bring you on. This way we can get you on if you have something to say, or if you have a microphone on your phone, on your computer, you can, press whatever feature it is to come live on the air. We have another caller, 347-742. You're on the air.
Hey, Jasmine.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, this is Stretch.
Hey, Stretch. Did you make it home, or are you still in New York?
I made it home. I came back Monday. Yeah. I'm back in Atlanta.
All right. So, everybody say hi to Stretch.
Hey, Stretch.
Hey, Stretch.
Hello.
Hey, everybody. What's up? What's up? I just wanted to address a few things. I was listening to the show through my computer, and I'm pretty familiar with. I just read this book about the Willie Lynch letters called "Breaking the Curse of Willie Lynch," and the Willie Lynch letter was basically. It basically talked about how different ways to separate blacks and keep them entrapped, basically keep them enslaved so they won't, become more than their slave owners. And he also talked about how, we'll separate blacks by color. That way, they'll stay separated for over 300 years. And I listened to a lot of people give their stories and different things like that. And I noticed that some people said they don't like they don't like dark-skinned people, or they don't like light-skinned people, or they don't date dark-skinned women or dark-skinned men. And it just goes back to say that the letter came to life, and it still actually is used today in society. And also, I heard Bishop talk about stereotypes as far as, with different jobs and stuff like that. And being in the military, and now I work in corporate America, I noticed that, people do judge you by, your skin color, but in that situation where, someone else is qualified, maybe he had a better personality than the next person, or it may not be just his skin color, because I think that the first thing we think is, okay, because he's light-skinned or because he's dark-skinned, he may not get the job, or because he's black. But sometimes your personality can make you, not get the job, or even your name,
Exactly, and I'm glad you brought that up. His personality was on key and it was on point. What you just said that can be so key is also the look. When you go on a job interview, you look representable, but it's sometimes that look. You can look so good, key. You can look up. You can just look good. And still, then again, everything on point. Still, then again, just the look,
right.
and that's so key, because it just give you that stereotype, like, yeah, oh, dang, he just looked like that, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. And sometimes you can look at somebody, and I'm guilty of it too, you know, you can look at somebody by the way they dress, and you automatically judge them, you know? Like, oh, because if they dress a certain way, they may be a thug, or they dress this way, you know? So you never really know. It could be many reasons. It's not, I mean, we're so quick to pull, like, the race card or, you know, oh, your dark skin, light skin card, you know, but it could be different reasons. So sometimes you have to be a little more optimistic, and, you know, it's not all about, you know, being black or light skin or dark skin. I mean, you know, black is beautiful. I mean, whether you're dark or light, it really doesn't matter. And basically all I want to say, I mean, I don't want to talk you guys to death, but...
Thank you for calling in, and thank you so much for bringing that up. Jason, I know that you, based on what she just said, now you said it was something different than that which you read, that it wasn't true. What is it that you heard?
Well, from what I'm hearing and from what I'm reading, there is no real proof. The letter does exist. I'm looking at it now. But there is no real proof that this Willie Lynch person actually wrote this letter. So there, it's so basically what they're saying is just like standing in the mirror and saying Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. That this letter was orchestrated to make black people think a certain way, or to make black people or make Americans think a certain thing. Period. And that's what it was. Basically what it's saying is that this letter was construed, or this letter was written so that people could think, and it was just to make you think, like, wow. But everything that's being said in this is could actually have happened and actually be done, because we are separated. The black man was taken out of the home. It did make the black woman have to depend on a white man. It took the man out of the house. So now the man is looked at as a weaker or lesser being because he wasn't there to protect or defend this woman. So it goes from that. So it goes from slavery into saying that, okay, we bring it into the modern day system. You keep the black man out of the home so that the woman has to depend on welfare. So now that she can't have welfare in a man in the house. So you're still keeping a black man out of the home, so that the children grow up thinking that, okay, the man is not supposed to be here, the woman is inferior, and then black boys look at black women as being bitches and all of those type of names that they call them in negative. So it's, I'm saying it all in my head and trying to get it out, so it sounds like I'm crazy, but I know, but it's just not making sense. But if you read the letter, and you can Google Willie Lynch, and it has the whole letter there, if you really read it, you'll think that this letter is real, and it's a real letter because it makes you think. But the question is, did Willie Lynch really exist, and did this white man really make this letter? And if he did, this is really what's going on from then to now. And until we break this cycle of we put the black man back in the home, we embrace that we are all black, white, we are all black no matter what color, skin tone we are, we need to unite. In the same way that, but then in the same token, now that I said it makes me think about this, you have, the same way we do this to ourselves, you have Caucasian people that will do the same thing to them, because you have rednecks, you have poor white trash, and you have rich people. And if you ever have watched, if you ever working in hotel business, working in the hotel industry, I would see how white people interact with each other.
There's a difference though. With them, they stick together. They might read each other. They might not even see each other, but they'll stick together.
Right.
For some reason, with us, we'll stick to our guns with, oh, this dark skin, da-da-da-da-da, or whatever. It's crazy. I just, you know, you can continue. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Right.
Well, I'm gonna let you know. You on key. You are really on point, Jason, because, I know some white people that you can be at a bar, and you could be chilling with them, they can be chilling with you, and they try to fit in to what, you know, that stereotype thing come out again. They try to fit in to what they can't really, really recognize, because they're not in the skin, and they probably don't understand what we probably have been through, or the slang or the lingo or anything we use. Going back to that letter, if that letter is not, you know, accurate, or Willie Lynch didn't write it, or this was someone, white or black, they said that letter was, it's like, that letter's like a story. The old ancestors, they said the letter was like a story, and I think it was like a story to let black people know that this is going to happen. That letter was for this present time, and I heard some old people share that letter, some old black folks share that letter, and just, you know, to try to wake up people and let them know that it's that time. And if regardless if it was written by anyone else, black or white, it was like a wake up call for the future.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, I understand everything that y'all are saying, and what I don't get is, like, I'll stand next to my dark skin, my light skin, whoever, but what pisses me off the most is, like, what Bishop just said, you know, white people try to hang with black people and they don't understand the lingo. I mean, what pisses me off most about that is that words are not black or white. So, you know, black people get mad when white people act black, or white people get mad with black people who try to act white. I don't believe there's an acting black or acting white. There's an acting educated, and there's an acting not educated. Now, what pisses me off most about my black people is that they do dumb shit that they don't even have to do. And they can't speak English, you know, not English like per se, but, you know, they want to speak slang all the time. And then you wonder why white people look at us like we're retarded, like we're apes, like we're monkeys, because we can't even formulate a sentence.
But I wait a minute.
Wait, please let me say this. But, okay. And see, this is where, I love you, Calvin, but this is where we're going to have to agree to disagree. Because for everything that you just said, I can say the same thing about Caucasian people.
Right.
I can say the same thing about the Caucasian people that I see on the news, or that you see the same Caucasian people when they're marching in these protests, and you ask them a question about, you ask them a certain question about this or that, and they can't give you an answer, and they use slang. Now, the same way I use slang here and I talk on this radio show, when I'm at work, I don't sound like this. I don't
exactly
act like this. But I know when to turn it on and turn it off. There are some people that, because they were not brought up, okay, let's talk about, okay, I mean, we could spend weeks on this episode on this, because it could just go to education, it could go to education, it could go to economy. We can break it down to so many different levels that it's not black and white. It's a human being thing, and it's a issue of mistreatment on one part. For example, anything that I talk about, I can give an example for myself. The first hotel I ever worked for was a Marriott. And when I interviewed for that job, I saw all the people that interviewed with me. I was still in high school. So, no, and this was going to be one of my first jobs. So when I got the job, I went to work one morning, and I looked at, and it was, I was working day shift. And when I went to work, I happened to look at the front, be on the other side of the desk, and look at and see everybody that was behind that counter. Everybody behind that counter was light-skinned, a male or female with straight hair. If you came to the 3 to 11 shift, they had all of the dark-skinned people on that shift. So
Key. Yes,
so,
talk, preach.
So when we had, when I went and worked for the Renaissance, which was another Marriott, I noticed that the same thing happened, and we just happened to be in a human resource meeting, and they called it the Barbie doll syndrome, because they said when Caucasian people check out in the morning, they are more friendly towards someone that looks like them.
True.
They're more accepting to smile and greet someone that looks like them. So you put all of your house niggers, if that's what you want to say, on your morning shift. And then when evening time comes and the sun is going down, you put your 3 to 11 crew on, and you notice, I mean, if you can go to a hotel now, and sometimes this still goes on, and you'll see it, and you'll be like, you're right. You have all these pretty, attractive people working during the day. Then you come back that evening, and you got Boom Quisha and Kiki and Nene at the desk. Just like for, I'll give you another example. I can be at the mall with my darker friends, and somebody, and a Caucasian person can be lost or they feel uncomfortable. Who do they approach and ask a question? Me, and it never fails. If I'm down, if I'm out shopping downtown near the harbor and a white person is lost or they get scared, they will bypass so many people to approach me. And I'm like, do I really look approachable as mean as I am? They approach me all the time.
You know, Jason, I'm glad you brought that up.
Y'all be getting so passionate with this stuff. We got callers and they're putting their hands up and down, and up and down. Let's give everybody a chance to talk really quickly.
Okay.
If you guys have want to touch up on tonight's topic, please press 1, and we will come to you, and you can talk. Again, if you're listening from a computer, let me know or so, and we can bring you on the air, and you can talk or give us your feedback. Also, if there's any icons from, like, the 80s that are out there that can help me with a category or so, you know, your older ones, I really want you guys to come on the air because I want to ask you guys a couple of questions in reference to categories back then compared to now. So please come on the air or let me know that you're on the air. I'm trying to get one, but she act like she's busy or something. Honey, don't get me started. 443-577.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
443-570, you're on the air.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, how are you? This is Enrique.
Hey, Enrique.
Hey, what's up? Hey, how are you? I just wanted to comment a little bit, touch different points about the subject. Let me get first about that letter. Like, whoever wrote it or whatever it was a common practice because you did have your field slaves and you had your house raped. But just because you were in the house never meant that you was always treated better because they got beat, raped just as much as the field niggas did. You know what I'm saying? It's just that it was done to you behind doors. So I always want to clarify that because my mother always pointed that out to me. She goes, there were house and field niggas, but they were all treated pretty much the same. Another thing is I also come from a family where on my father's side, everybody was really, really light-complected. And it was a requirement as a woman of the Jenkins family, because it was my father's side. All Jenkins women's hair if you cut your hair, you couldn't cut it no more past your shoulder. It was an absolute requirement. If you cut it above your shoulder, you'd be brownish, you'd be round, you'd be red. My grandmother would have a fit. My mother's from Brooklyn. So my mother came in to the house and my father brought her in. And my mother was like, who's the jigaboos with you?
Ooh.
Just like that. She didn't ask my mother's name or what it was. It was just, who's the jigaboo with you? My father said, well, this is my girlfriend. I mean, this is my girl. She goes, so you're just having sex with her? That's all, right? I mean, you can't be thinking seriously you're going to be marrying her because you know what we do. So this is the same woman, by the way, because I was a part of it later on in life when I'm born and stuff. I was part of the whole Jack and Jill clan, if you guys are familiar with that. And with the Jack and Jill, she was one of the main enforcers of the paper brown, the paper bag test. Now, everybody knows what I look like, and I'm way shades darker than a paper bag. You know what I'm saying? But it was just the point. Like, I guess because of my father's stature or his economic prowess or something, we were allowed in. But even in the Jack and Jill sector when I was going, and mind you, this was like 70s and 80s, it was so prevalent, there was still a division of color. You know what I'm saying? If you wasn't, like, if you did have a little voice in it, if you were a dark and complected person because you made X amount of dollars. So it is so prevalent from what happened, like, in the slave days to what's going on now because it's been embedded to us. It's been, like, so embedded of, like, when people say, like, the passing, like, people passing or the one-drop theory thing, because there was this big thing in the group about kids who look white. But back then, if it was known that you had one drop of blood, you were considered black, no matter how much you was passing. So people would try to pass, but everybody knows that, like, black genes are very, very strong. So we can skip a generation, but next, all of a sudden, you have this dark-skinned child or this child with very Afrocentric features, and you don't know what's going on. So I just think that it's so funny because it is really prevalent today because as a dark-skinned man, I mean, even though I sound really educated at times, I still – they have to get past how I look. You know, once I start – because I can have a great phone conversation – love me, want to come see me, and so like just bring your IDs and stuff like that, we'll hire you right away. And then there we sitting there, and this one lady actually told me, she goes, like, I'm saying, well, I'm here to interview for the job. She goes, well, it's been filled already by Mr. Jenkins, so we're just waiting for him. It's been filled. No, she said, it's been filled already. We're just waiting for him. I said, okay. So I leave. I get a call no more than 15 minutes later. She goes, Mr. Jenkins, we're waiting on you. I said, I was just in there. So when I came back, like, she was just so embarrassed, but it was just a point, like, what's going on? She goes, but you just sound so different. So what does different mean? You know what I'm saying? Different means that I sound white, or different means that you thought I was lighter complexion, which is more pleasing. So that might, like Jason said, that is true, what Jason said, they do tend to have lighter skin people that people can relate more to at the front. Because, you know, a lot of your construction workers and stuff like that, or people in working factories, a lot of them are dark-skinned people, and that kind of works in their favor, too, because they tend to hire dark-skinned people. They're known to work better, faster than the, quote-unquote, prettier light-skinned African-American. So I just wanted to touch on that because you guys hit so many different spots. And, like, that whole Jack and Jill thing was crazy when I dealt with that for 10 years of my life. So I kind of dealt with that with my own kind. More so than I dealt with it with the other race, so to speak. You know, so, but that's it. I just want to say hey, and great topic. And if I have anything else to say, I'll just hit one. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Enrique. Mama Jones, you are back. All right, thank you guys for calling in and bringing everything up. I'm about to tell you now, Queen, honey. Thank you guys for calling in and talking about it. For those of you who are just tuning in, tonight we are talking about skin color, your skin color and how it plays a role within your life, the community, and everything that we deal with day to day. I want to take it, we talked a little bit about our history individually as far as our skin color goes. Please, if you're, mute your phones because I'm getting feedback.
Okay,
if you are
too.
Doing something, mute your phone because I hear feedback. I don't want to just mute everyone and bring everyone on individually. We talked about our backgrounds, or you guys talked about your backgrounds when it came, you know, time for this. But now I want to talk about the community itself as far as, you know, where we come from, you know, within the ballroom scene. I want to talk about categories and, you know, why categories have been divided and how far back does it go, especially like with the face categories and stuff when it comes to light versus dark, you know, karma, all that stuff. And I want to bring on the icon himself, Andre Mizrahi, to give us a little history on, you know, how far back he remembers this category and if he knows, like, where it originated from. So, Andre, you're on the air. How are you, darling?
I'm great. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. It don't sound muffled tonight.
No, you sound perfectly fine, sweetie.
Okay. How everybody doing? Fine.
What's
going
on, 1800?
Hey,
everybody
say hi to Andre.
Hey, Andre.
Hi, Andre.
What's going on?
Hello.
Okay, so where are we at now? You want to
so
know
we're
about
talking a little bit about this skin color and stuff like that. And, you know, for a long time, we've always had the category light versus dark, so forth and so on. How far back do you remember, and why was it ever divided?
It was divided. I feel it was divided, one, because the dark-skinned kids were secondary when it came to face. It was never one thing. I don't think it would ever would have been separated unless everybody was equal. But when it came to dark kids walking face, it was like, oh, he's cute to be dark. It was never, oh, he's just gorgeous. You know, it was always, oh, he's cute, but he to be dark. And so that's why I think they broke it up to my, you know, ability of thinking about it or whatever. And that was since I came out in 88 that I remember that. So it was always when since I've been out, I always seen light versus brown versus dark since track day. So, and that's what I got from it. Period. Because every time I enter the
so day, it was like that even in the '80s.
Yeah, and because I came out in '88, and my first ball was in '89. And one of my first balls, I remember light versus brown versus dark. So maybe it just came out around that time or something. But and then after about a year, I started listening to everybody as well. And to this day, and it's 2014, is they still say that if you walk a ball or you see somebody, as soon as a dark kid is lovely come up there, he's like, oh, wow, he is gorgeous to be black. What do that mean, to be black? So, you know, that's a part of racism, too. But people don't think that's racism, but that's a part of it as well.
So are you saying that even back then it was easier for a light-skinned girl to get through compared to, like, a dark-skinned girl?
Correct. As well, if I have to break something down to you, to this day now it's 2014, like I said, and when it comes to realness, the bitch could be drop-dead gorgeous if she's Puerto Rican or she's really light, and they will let her win over a real girl because she's pretty and she's light. So a lot of light skin got a lot to do with it when you're really not even, you're really confused, you know what I mean, of what you're looking at. Because light just takes over and they think you're more lovelier when you're light. They think it's just the top of the world when you're light instead of when you either dark or, you know, really caramel or a different color. But light just really goes in.
Okay. And while we have you on the air and you're giving us a little history lesson on this, can you tell us, like, as far as you can remember, with houses and the different houses that were out there, why were certain houses predominantly only one race? And why were certain houses, and other houses, they didn't really allow, like, other certain races to be a part of it? Do you know anything about that or paid attention to any of that?
Oh, yeah. yeah, from the day when once I came out, I was battling some of the Puerto Rican houses at that time, and they really didn't like blacks at all. It was more like a battle thing with them, and it was Puerto Rican. They wasn't even white houses. They were Puerto Rican, but they felt they was better. You know, at one time, the extravaganzas hated blacks. Anytime I stepped on the floor, you know, they would read and all kind of stuff, and then behind closed doors with other Puerto Ricans that came to me later and said, child, they read all the blacks and this and that. If you are in their house just because you're kissing their ass, they might have had two, you know, blacks in their house at that time. I think, you know, to this day is different. You know, I think it's not as racism as it was as we grown up. But you still have a few, you know, chapters that might be, you know, basically more Puerto Rican or more in certain chapters where they feel the same thing. Like if I had to pick a state where I feel that it's more Puerto Ricans or lighter people, I would say Miami right now. And, you know, and I hear from a lot of my kids as well as others that it's still, you know, kind of racism when it comes to categories and houses and down there with, like, I hear the Infinities or, and please don't quote me with this. This is just basically what my kids and other people have told me, that is a lot of racism. And then it comes where, oh, you know, the Puerto Ricans definitely have this on lock or that on lock because that's basically all that's down there. So it's the blacks that's outcast when it's not about the talent to me, so.
Mm-hmm. And just for a quick little update on your house and the originating in your house, give them a little history on who your original founding mother was and what race she was.
Oh, my original first ever mother, she came from the House of Alor, and she was she's a white lady, and she was legendary for Runway Mardell's Effect. Yeah, and I was never one of them that picked color or prejudice. I just seen talent in whoever you are. I loved whoever you are and tried to make the best of whatever we was doing, and that was basically it. And she reigned completely. She was, you know, she dominated Woman's Runway at that time. And then, you know, she moved on with her life. Now she's in North Carolina. A lot of people don't know that, but she's in North Carolina. She's doing well. She have a whole family, half kids and all of that. She said she still might step back out or whatever. But, yeah, that was my first mother. She was a white lady.
And you never played a part. You never built your house based on any of that stuff that was going on within ballroom.
You know, I think truthfully, if you base your house on something like that, that comes from the founder. That's basically how you are if you're basing your house around that. Because if you see that happening and this was your house, you would stop. You would find some type of way to stop it. So, you know, at that time, if houses were like that, and no shade to the Milans, at that time, me and Roger was enemies, and he was completely like that. He was, but then Terry wasn't. You know, Terry Milan, and then was the founders of Milan at that time. But me and Roger, that bitch hated me, and I don't know if it was from, you know, I was his rival at that time, or I don't know if it was from, oh, I'm a black kid, and, you know, he was another one that loved, you know, the Puerto Rican houses, and he was definitely a friend of, you know, the Extravas as well, and the Infinities at that time, so, and the Magnifiques. It was all the houses. I might be forgetting one more. But basically, yeah, I would never run my house like that, and I think if they did run their house like that, it was because that's what they were.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, I didn't come out back when you were out, but I do remember from when I did come out in the 90s, even back then it was definitely, you know, divided, you know, within houses and in certain categories. Let's give them a quick little rundown really quickly to the new generation that's out there listening, Andre. Let's talk about, of course, back then the highlight was the Femme Queen phase. That was definitely our highlight, the category of the evening always. Who were some of the girls that broke down the building and compared to the Light and Lovelies and then the dark girls that did come out? Of course, we know the top reigning ones. But who were some of the ones that really broke it down and got through? And then when that dark one came out, like you said, she was beautiful to be black. Who was those black girls that came out and did it?
Okay, well, the first girl I would say that was a black girl that I can remember that shut the building down was Temperance, and she passed away in St. Laurent. And a lot of girls probably wouldn't remember. They probably know her name, but they don't know her or what she had done. You know, she was the she was the black beauty of them days. And then after that, you had the Danielles and the Moldavias. You know, that was the black girls that really, you know, shined completely regardless of the race or whatever, or the racism at that time. But them is three black girls, don't forget Tracy Africa, that broke buildings down as well, you know. And them, I could say basically them four, I might be leaving out somebody, but them four right there have definitely made a name. Now, if you go years later, you even have Renee Caron coming from Philadelphia that made a difference between realness and face, you know, that made sure you see that she was a black girl, but bitch, I'm here, you know. So you definitely had that thing where the girls definitely would shine, but it wasn't that many of them. It might have been five or seven out of maybe 20, you know, light girls that shine, but it was maybe like five or seven black girls that really made it through.
And some of the light-skinned girls were like who? You know, starting off with like Octavia and
Octavia, Jason Davis, Ajene, Milan. Then you can go either further back where I'm forgetting, what is her name? Oh, my God. She passed away too, but I forgot her name. But it was so many light-skinned girls that got through. Period. But I've always thought it was easier for the light-skinned girls, because if you wasn't black, and there's no shade to light skin, because if you're lovely, I don't care what color you are, but it's easier if you wasn't black, if you was Puerto Rican, you could just have long hair and makeup and, bitch, you're coming through, you got a better chance to come through, when if you was black, bitch, you had to find the right weave and all the rest of that shit to get it together, bitch, to come through, you know what I'm saying? So it was kind of easier for a Puerto Rican to... Because they, you know, when it comes to hair, bitch, they grow that instantly anyway. So, but yeah, I guess, I don't know, it's just each of them. I still think it's prejudiced to the extent when it comes to face. And in any category, certain categories, I think it's still prejudiced a little bit.
Okay. And give us a quick breakdown on Butch Queen face. You know, who were the top, back in those days, who were the top dark and lovely Butch Queens that walked face?
dark and lovely, dark and lovely. Did we have really, really dark? We had a few darks, but I can't. I mean, we had black kids, definitely, but I'm not going to say we had completely dark kids. We had Mark Extravaganza. He came through, and he definitely made a difference. And we had, I forgot this other kid name. One kid that made a difference, but he, to me, his name wasn't that out there. And this was later on to me, was the Aga boy. He's from Jersey, but I don't remember his name.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, when it came to the dark kids, I didn't see too many dark ones that really came through that made a name. It might have been one or two in Philadelphia as well, but, you know, when it came to lighter kids, then it was a different story. Blacks definitely made it in for Butch Queen Face, but I don't think the dark skins ones made it in like a light-skinned one would. I can't remember. And if it maybe was before my time, that one made it so deeply in, bitch, where there was a Whitney at their time, or, you know, there was definitely a drop-dead gorgeous child. Now, later on, you have the Jason Prodigies and other on, but I'm talking about years before that.
What about in the early 90s or in the mid-90s? Who were some of the faces that you remember that was really breaking the building down?
You had Fred Garson. You had Little Fred Mugler. It was Mugler's at that time. You had Whitney. You definitely had who was Whitney's rival? The Infinity Child, Brian. You have
Brian.
Yeah. You had what is his name? Milan. He's a model slash what is his name? He's on that poster ad with Whitney. What is his name? I keep forgetting his name.
Tyreek.
Yeah, you had you definitely had Tyreek. Tyreek was a darker. He was almost a caramel place, and he was before them. Tyreek, you talking about Tyreek?
Are you talking about Zarek and Zarek,
yeah,
and Josh?
Yeah, Zarek and Josh. It's so many kids that's now that's definitely faced. You have Michael, you know, Mizrahi. You have a lot of people. You have Jason. You have, you know, so many people now that comes through. But it was harder. It was much, much harder then. And they separated it much more then than they separate it now, because remember they had Magazine Face and all the rest of that then. Yeah, and Carter, and more Carter. You know, they don't have that no more. They just have Face, light versus brown versus dark. And half of the time they don't even have light versus brown versus dark no more. They just have Face, and you just have to bring it. Yeah.
All right, well, there's your little history lesson with the icons. Well, Andre, I want to say thank you. And did you want to say anything else?
I don't know. Do I want to say something else? But you're definitely welcome. I'm trying to think, if I had to say anything, I just wish that, you know, I really think that ballroom is, it might have a damper on it, but I don't think ballroom is really going away, because I mean, people love ballroom, even if it is a lot of dampered spots where it needs to change or whatever. You have so many, you know, new kids that's so amazed with so much of it, where it definitely have over thousands of people still coming to balls. And they might be picking their balls wisely now, but I think ballroom ain't really going anywhere. Now, I just wish that a lot of kids, when they do come to ballrooms, they can accept losing, because there's a lot of this going around where they just feel that they can't lose. To be a great winner, you have to lose, and that's one thing. And we were just talking about this at a meeting that we had in Atlanta, this alliance, basically ballroom meeting. Anybody could have came or whatever. But, yeah, and that's the problem that we have now. I think a lot of parents as leaders is teaching your kids two things that I think that's wrong. One, to always look for cash trophies when – That was never ballroom. Make your name first, you know. Don't worry about cash. Just make your name, and then don't worry about being a legend or icon. Just do you, have fun. And that's what we lost, you know, as a community when it comes to balls, is coming to have fun and don't worry about winning. You just come into making your name and make them know it, regardless if you win or lose. And that's one thing that I maintain to keep regardless if I lose or win, because at the end of the day, if you put in your brain, okay, this is a one. I came here to have fun, two. So have fun with it. Even you're never going to always win or you're never going to always lose. There's always going to be something that's not right when it comes to a ball. So if you come there saying, okay, bitch, I just came to have fun, you'll be fine. But if you came there saying, bitch, I'm going to win, and then you lose, you're going to be fucked up with your brain. So if anything, I would want to leave with that. Just come to have fun. And I promise you, if you come to have fun, at the end of the day, you will be that legend or icon you always dreamed to be.
All right. Well, don't forget, Andre, and for the people that are listening, on Monday is our 6th anniversary show, and Andre was at once a host on the air. He's one of the ones who started with us, and actually the episode was used to be called Lessons with the Icon, and as you see, I brought him on the air tonight to give us a lesson in history of ballroom. So thank you again, Andre, for tuning in tonight.
You're welcome. It's been 6 years.
Yes, girl. It's been a long time. You remember back then, don't you?
Yeah, I'm gagging because I was actually thinking of something, because I'm actually doing a project with a star, and I had to do a resume, and I put a radio host on it, but I didn't believe that it was that long, like 6 years. Wow.
Yep. Lessons with the Icon all the way back then. It's been a long time. And Andre,
wow.
Why are you telling people you 58 and you got 1,800 trophies? What's up with that?
I never told no one I was 58. I am so happy to be 45 because, one, I think God has blessed me. Two, I'm living without any kind of sicknesses, so I think that's a blessing as well. Three, I think I look really good for my age. So, truthfully, I love saying I'm 45. I think that came from you, Mel. That came from Jack and Pussy and Kelly and everybody else throwing my age up so far, where people really don't know what age I am. They think I've been lying for years. But I'm happy for my age.
All right.
I'll be 46 this year.
All right. I know that's right, honey. All right, Andre, well, I'm going to put you back on hold, and I want to say thank you again, and we will talk to you later. And call in on Monday, because we want everybody to be on the air.
All right, I will make sure.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Everybody say bye to Andre.
Bye.
Bye,
Andre.
Bye, that was really good.
Thank you. All right, y'all, so that's a little breakdown on how the categories and stuff went and everything. Let me ask you guys a question when it comes to, yeah, you're muted because you were talking in the background while Andre was talking and we couldn't hear because you were talking to your other people.
Ooh.
Joel, you're on the air again.
Sorry.
I told ya, honey. Y'all got to stop that. All right, so let me ask y'all a question. If you had to name within ballroom right now, I'm going to start at the top and then work my way down like I always do. If you had to name two lovely femme queens that walk face and two lovely butch queens that you know are known for face, or it could be any category, in all honesty, not even face, who would they be? Based on who you are aware of, I'm going to start at the top and work my way down. Jason, who do you think they are?
Ugh.
It could be one or two.
So Butch Queen, I'm going to say Jason. And for Femme Queen, for me, I'm going to say... And I haven't seen her in a while, so I don't know what she looks like now, so please don't read me. I'm going to say Alessa.
Okay. Calvin?
Actually, for Femme Queen, I am very much in love with Felicity, Miss Rossi. I don't know what it is about her. I mean, I think it is her skin complexion, her jawline. I love her. For Butch Queen... Oh no! Like I told you, I love a light skinned boy, and between Trey Garstone and God, I can't remember his name, but I'm just going to say straight for him.
Okay, Justin.
I have always loved Temperance. That's I think she's Mother Blonic right now. I love her, just her skin tone, her face in general. And oh, what's that bitch's name? Butch Queen's face. Are we talking about the new kids or just in general? Or
anybody.
I like Ryu. I think Ryu's face has always been on. I think they tried him, but I've always liked his face.
Okay. J-Rock? J-Rock?
J-Rizzle.
She with a date.
Okay.
Oh, here we go again.
Bishop?
I don't know about the Bush Queen face, but Fem Queen face, I would say Shanice.
Okay. Tiffany?
You said Janice?
Shanice. Hey, Shanice with the S and
oh,
not no E.
Okay.
Tiffany?
So Butch Queen, I'm going to have to say Whitney. I don't think it gets any better than that. I mean, I think he's just so handsome, especially to be older. And then for Femme Queen face, I'm going to pick two because I kind of like one that's light skin and then one that's dark skin. So, of course, you know my dark skin, I love Dee Dee. I think she's so beautiful. And then for light skin, I'm going to have to go with I don't know. She's not really light skinned, but I mean, I like Shanice though too, or whatever. It's between her or either Trigony before you know the face start.
Well, see, Dee Dee to me is light skinned.
She's what?
To me, she's light skinned. I think she's gorgeous, but to me, she's light skinned.
What?
That lady is dark skinned blue. Look at me. Light skin.
I mean, for me, there's a line between light skin and dark skin. Like, dark skin for me is Felicity Mizrahi. Light skin is, you know, I would say a little darker than a paper bag and lighter.
Oh,
okay. Mama Jones, give me a femme queen and a butch queen that you see for face or for any category.
I would have to definitely go with Ms. Tiffany Monroe. Can I choose another one?
Mm-hmm.
Amaya Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And for my Butch Queen, I would have to agree with Piggly Wiggly, Whitney.
Okay. Joelle?
Oh, that, Butch Queen, of course, Whitney, and Femme Queen, Tiffany Monroe.
Okay. Well, those are good answers. We have another caller, 305-896. You're on the air.
I have probably is it okay if I just name out three people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for one, I'd say Femme Queen's face, Tracy Mizrahi.
Okay.
Of course, personal friend of mine, Carmen Carrera.
Yeah.
Love her down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter how much surge, no matter whatever it is that she has on her face, you know, it proves that Amaya Scott has the same. I'm not trying to get into details, but, you know, I love them both down. But, yeah, that's my point. That's the three people I love.
Okay. Thank you, Carla. Did you want to say anything else about tonight's topic? Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry?
Carla, did you have anything else you wanted to say about tonight's topic?
About the topic, no, but I'd like to say that it's very nice to see that a lot of people aren't getting very ignorant on this topic because, let's be realistic, the ballroom can get very ignorant, and this is a good topic, I guess.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you, caller. Well, they know good and goddamn well they better not get ignorant on here.
Ooh.
Not on no Wednesday, honey.
I'm
I ain't got time for that
shit.
Bullshit. Shamika, give me a couple of people that you see.
She must on God.
Ain't she on Calvin's phone?
Yeah,
she is on my phone, but she was, but she ain't saying nothing. Shamika.
I
leave her right there.
Yeah,
just leave her there.
Ooh.
The shady.
Y'all need to stop being shady. Let me ask the chat room. Hello, chat room. Blog Talk chat room. Give me some people in there that you guys see for the category and stuff. Y'all so fierce. I just clicked on y'all, and I see what y'all was talking about. Y'all fierce. That's why I don't even like coming to y'all. Cause if I pay attention to what y'all do in the chat room, it'll take me away from the damn show. Emery, they saying Emery. Kai Prodigy or Exotic and Emery. Y'all is a mess.
Not that strong, girl.
How y'all gonna say that? They saying a certain fem queen for butch queen face. Yes.
Ooh, where? Look, I need to see this.
Oh, I need to go in there and see this. Wait a minute.
That damn Blog Talk chat room is a mess, and y'all just the playground. They say
yeah,
Khadija.
You know how you were saying how some
houses
are predominantly one color or one type of person? I've seen that a lot with the Garcons. The Garcons, there are a lot of mostly light skin.
Yeah, there is a – well, they have some dark-skinned people in there as well, though. But, yeah, there is predominantly certain ones. I definitely think Temperance and Shanice for women – and David and Exotic Mugler for the boys. Not Temperance.
Okay, I have a question.
A question as well.
I have a question, and I don't want anybody to take offense to this. But when it comes to the realness category for men, realness, whatever you want, I got streetwear, realness, or whatever, why is it that the uglier you are, or from what I see, the darker you are, or the most unattractive you are, they consider that to be real?
Because
it's hard.
You
to
already
spook.
Know why.
It's hard. Well, it's
you
hard to
why.
Spook somebody that ugly. I'm being honest.
And it's definitely the truth.
But I find that offensive that, okay, say I decide because, okay, granted, if I don't open my mouth or whatever and I put on, and clearly I've had this conversation with other people on Facebook and in the little chat groups that gay real and real are two different things, because I can go into certain stores and women will flirt with me and try to give me their phone number. But gay real is like, child, you're not real. It's nothing real about you. You're a woman.
So, I agree with you, Jason.
So,
I agree because I go through that.
If I videotape myself on a Friday night in a straight club with my... He can't. See, she can't take my heterosexual realness, but it's she can't take
I
my heterosexual realness. So,
I can't see a woman
I mean,
trying to give you her number.
Well, I tell you what, this weekend when I hang out with my sister, I'm going to videotape the evening, and then I'm going to post it. And for every female that comes on to me, Jasmine, that's $50 from you.
Cheryl, please. Hold on. Andre got something to say. Andre, you said ugly always wins over pretty. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, that's how it goes, but it's the truth. Think about it.
Let me say what I got to say,
and then you can rebuttal. Think about it. Now, I'm standing up here with a gorgeous man. He's a man now. So I'm going to put, what's his name? The actor.
We can even go with Tyson Beckford because he's black and he's still gorgeous. You put Tyson Beckford up here, and then you put somebody that got that's the same complexion with fucked up hair, a scar on their face, they got 90 tattoos, and they just look rugged as fuck. The first thing you're going to think is this bitch is going to rob me, my father, my mother, and everything else. So that's a part of the realness. When you clean and cut,
mm-hmm.
it brings the value down a little because a man is don't give a fuck about no. A real nigga is going to come out any type of way without caring, bitch, for real. So the more you take care of yourself and the more hygiene you put together for to be the nastiest, prettiest bitch out there, as a man, you're definitely with the pretty boys or you're definitely one step before you can get to the thug realness.
Okay. I respect that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. You know, when you look at guys who, you know, groom themselves and, you know, are always clean cut and the pretty boys and stuff, even straight guys that run around here saying that they're pretty, 9 out of 10, we be looking at them like, child, he gay. He mess around or whatever.
Okay,
but
so
when we
so
look at these little... Go ahead.
So what you're saying is that to all my light-skinned brothers that want to walk the realness category, the day of the ball... Don't take no bath. Don't comb your hair. Don't brush your teeth. Just go in there looking like you just got out of bed.
This is where we go back to the category itself, and we got Andre on the air again. Now, when we go back to the originality of realness, look how realness had to be divided. Why? Because when pretty boys back then were just regular pretty boys that were well-groomed and, like, they were walking against somebody, like Andre said, with scars on their face and tattoos and stuff like that, they wasn't going to win against them. So the category had to be divided into, like, okay, we'll just give them the pretty boys, and we'll give them the thugs. And the little schoolboys, the ones that looked like they were going to school, they, again, wasn't winning against the Dre's and the Jameses and all the rest of that stuff. So they had to get divided as well because they looked so young. They were so young, and they didn't look like somebody that was about to rob you outside. So everyone had to get divided because of it.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? What house do you think slays the best pretty boy realness and the best thug realness? What house? What houses?
Andre?
Okay, first of all, I'm going to answer that question to now because everything goes. See, I'm glad you asked that question because just because you're reigning today don't mean you're going to reign tomorrow. And this is what every house needs to know this because every house is like, oh, I'm the top house or I'm the – maybe it ain't no such thing. It might be a such thing as 5 top houses, but it ain't no such thing as I'm leading more than the other lead because it depends on how many of your kids want to walk that month or that year. Then next year, the prodigies might walk more. So each year you're going to see somebody different. To me, when it comes to realness, hands down, I only think of really like 2, and this for thug runners, not talking about any other realness. I'm talking about thug runners. I only see 2 houses when that comes to mind. Really, and that's Ebony and Prodigy. That's what I see right now, period. It might be, don't get me wrong, you might have 1 or you might have 2 in another house that's raining, but when it comes to maybe 10 bitches coming out to get you, them might be the 2 houses that come for you, bitch.
Now, what about Pretty Boys?
Pretty Boys is a different story. I see Aga's, bitch. I see... Garcons, I think I've seen more in them 2 houses, bitch, than I've seen, like, a lot. Like I said, every house have maybe 1 or 2, but I'm talking about if you got to wait and a good 5 might come at you, bitch, then to me, y'all reigning at that time for that category.
Okay.
Well, it's no shade. When I see, especially the Garcon boys, when their faces are old, I think, fuck, no shade, because, you know, maybe that's just how I was conditioned to think. Like, when I see a pretty light-skinned boy, I just like, damn, this nigga a punk.
And that's the truth, though. You think that when it comes to realness, that's what you're supposed to think. Because now I ain't going to say you're supposed to think that, but at the end of the day, that's like Trey Songz. He looks like a fucking faggot. I don't give a fuck what you say, bitch.
Right.
Huh? Right, I agree with you. Like, he could be straight as a doornail, but he's just so clean and cut and everything is perfect. When you think of perfect, you think of gay.
And like we were saying, like, I don't see that as real because that's too print, too kept up,
I think it is real, but I think it's pretty boy because you are going to have pretty boys that is, you know, defined with their hygiene and make sure they up to par. Because it's basically, if you grew up in the right home, bitch, your mother probably was dampering you from when you was a child, so you're going to grow up like that, you know. So it might not have nothing to do with them, or you might just want to take your own time and say, bitch, this is what I want, a pedicure and a manicure and my face done and make sure my hair is sitting and all of that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's to each his own, though, but I do understand your point and I do agree.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yeah.
It may not be, you know, everybody may think I'm funny saying it, but do you think the artist formerly known as Prince would have owned Pretty Boy Realness if he was to walk a ball?
Well, one, they would definitely go fucking lose it because the man is gorgeous and he's, what, almost 60 now, bitch? So the man is still gorgeous. Pretty Boy Realness, he's gay. He's not a boy. He's more gay with shoes on, so that's a chop right there. Now, if you just went by face alone, bitch, then I could see him coming through. I don't think he'll win because there's a lot of young girls that definitely would sit her down, but she's gorgeous for her age. You wouldn't think she's nowhere near. I would think the bitch is 35, 40, bitch, instead of 60. You know what I mean? So I do understand your point, but she's not real, so that's a chop.
Audrey, I have a question for you. Do you think that it's fair that face guys can walk when they have plastic surgery?
No, I really, it depends what type of plastic surgery. What do you mean? Break it down.
Like face-wise, like they got implanted cheekbones and stuff like that to make themselves look better or to look more face-like.
If you look completely, this is how I judge it. If you look completely human and I can't tell that's done, but I know you done because I know you personally, I'm going to give you a chance and I'm going to grace you with that because you've done that. Now, if you look like you got surgery, I still might give you a chance because you're gorgeous, but when it comes to my vote, I'm going to give it to someone that's natural. I would never chop you because you paid for your look, because if you're sitting regardless, because you can't make a beast beautiful. I don't care what no one say. You can make them look cute, but you can't make a pretty, bitch. So at the end of the day, you had to have some type of look to get pretty. So, yeah.
Okay, hold on. We're about to go into record mode. So we got about 3 minutes left before we go into record mode. So if you're listening from a computer, you're going to get cut off. The lines are still pretty much full, but you can still try to get in if you can. Otherwise, thank you for tuning in. We will be back again next Monday for our anniversary show, and we still may do a little recap on that. If there's anything big this weekend, we will be back next Tuesday for Trash Talk Tuesday, and we will be back next Wednesday for another edition of the State of Emergency show. So for those of you that are listening from a computer, again, you may get cut off. I do apologize for that. Next time, call in early so you can be on the line. You may want to try calling in now to get on the line and see if you can get through, but you got about 3 minutes before we go into record mode. And for those of you who are on the air, if you happen to get disconnected, you will not be able to get back on. Andre, now that you brought that up, a beast can't become beautiful. Does anybody out there know of any beasts that have attempted to become beautiful or they think they're beautiful and yet have failed?
Johnny's.
Why are they always attacking that woman, honey?
I don't go around just attacking people. And the night that she was on the show, I was actually on her side most of the time. And then she just flipped the script talking about we were attacking her. And so I said, bitch, okay, well, if we're attacking, I'm just going to keep attacking.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I never believed that a beast can be lovely. Now they can enhance their look because I know a few bitches that I gagged and when I seen them again I said, oh shit, bitch, she look decent now. She, you know, but It ain't. I don't know one bitch that came from like a frog bitch and became a prince bitch or a princess. No, ma'am, not one. And if y'all know one, please bring their name up.
Now, do you think those puffy? I don't want to sound shady when I say this. Do you think the chipmunk cheeks are cute?
I don't think a lot of stuff is cute when it comes to oversurging your face or your body or something, but it's to each his own. If that's what you want in life, then I can't argue with you because that's your life. You know what I mean? And I don't judge no one's life, but me, myself, I think it's too much.
Can I ask Andre something? He just brought up a good point. I want to know, back in the day, what was the purpose? Like, why did the butch queens back in the day, did they get the stuff in their cheeks? And, like what was that about?
Right. They was walking face. A lot of them was walking face, and they felt that the cheeks would help them. You know, they wanted the big cheeks, basically, that the butch queens, some butch queens are naturally born with, and they wanted those, so a lot of them actually went out and started getting cheeks, period. And that's what it was basically about, ballroom, just to upset it at the time. It was no real reason.
And now some of them look like frogs.
Yeah, that shit looks
disturbing, man. I'm sorry, this shit
so
looks disturbing.
So was that something that was like really popular in the early '90s? Like, if you were a butch queen and you walked face, you had to have your cheeks pumped.
It was definitely really, really popular. And if you was in that crowd and was a follower, you might have been one of the ones that actually went and got your cheeks done too. Because I definitely know a good 30 bitches that I know that went and got their cheeks done.
Okay.
Have you ever chopped a house member or a child of yours because you didn't see them?
I chopped so many people in my house and out. Yep.
All right, now, we are now in record mode, so we are going to change tonight's topic. So once again, thank you, Andre. You can stay right there, but I know you don't watch TV, honey, so we talk about our TV shows now.
I watch
something. Can I ask something before you switch topic, Jasmine?
What are you watching, Andre? Go ahead, Joel. What do you want to ask?
Calvin, are you still there?
Yes.
You said earlier the same thing that other girl has said. You said that if you had a child, you wouldn't want it to be, you know, like bullied or picked on because of skin complexion or features.
Yes.
I don't think that's right, because at the end of the day, you are not God to, and this is my opinion, to choose somebody's features. Genetics do play a part, but at the end of the day, it's like that's taking the higher road out. Like, your child is going to be your child, whether they're dark skin, big nose, big lip, nappy hair, straight hair, and you might have to struggle because of society and they might get whatever, but I think that it's a trial or something that you have to go through. And it's easy to say, well, I want blue eyes and I want this and I want this.
Well, Joel, to pretty much simplify what I was trying to say, now, by no means am I a picky bitch. I'm a big girl. You know, I can't sit here and say I want a skinny child and it's going to happen. If I fall in love with a dark-skinned person and I happen to have a dark-skinned baby, oh, my baby's going to get love. Regardless of the fact,
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying with society the way that it is, we tend to not we, but people tend to bash darker skinned people. If I have a choice in the matter, I want a light skinned child. If I really had a choice in the matter, I want a perfect 10 child, perfect cheekbones, light skin, skinny, beautiful, perfect. That's what we all want. I don't have a choice, but I would like a light-skinned child. Now, when it comes to other features, I could care less because I had to get through my features. I had to get through who I was. Even now, you know, I'm getting through who I am. And I don't want it for my child, but if it happens, I can help them get through this because I've been through it.
Okay.
And there's no shade. And if I offended you, I'm sorry. And, you know, to clarify, like I said, once again, what I was saying earlier, you know, I don't think that white people just see us as ignorant, because there are ignorant white people as well. If I was white, I would say the exact same thing. It's not like I'm just picking on the black or the African-American culture. It's just that it's the truth. Nowadays, 2014, we all have a way to better ourselves. I'm not saying it's going to take overnight. I'm not saying we even have to try. But when it comes to certain things, it's like, why would you even want to do this?
Like, but, Calvin, why? you can have a fair-skilled, perfect child, but they can still be ratchet as hell. That doesn't – that you make changing up.
Or
they look outside does not –
I don't care if my child's ratchet. I don't care if they're ratchet. I don't care if they're educated. At the end of the day, it's my child. It came from my
loins. So it's the light-skin part.
Now the light-skin part, I want that. But if it doesn't happen, baby, it don't happen.
Can I add something to this?
And they're going to be acceptable. They're going to do, you know, what they need to do. And if later on in life, when I have nothing to do with, you know, when they turn 18, when they're grown, if they want to do what they want to do, if they want to be free, I don't want it for them. But if they're going to be crack at it, they're going to be crack at it. I can't hold their hands away.
Well, that's different. That's different. That's a choice. They don't choose how they're born.
I just want to say this. I started to think about it. You know how my mind is. I started to think about it, and I forgot to bring this up. What do y'all think about the folks, or the NBA players, the NFL players, or anybody famous that's black? What do you think about them dating out their race, and then on top of that, like out their skin color?
Let me just speak on this real quick before I go to sleep, because I'm getting a little tired. Let me see how to say this correctly. I don't really have a problem with men who date outside of their race. I have a problem with men who date outside of their race because they think that it makes them, like, superior, as if to say a white woman is better than a black woman. When half of the time, you know, my thing is white don't make you right, black don't make you wrong. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of times men say, oh, I'm going to mess with a white woman because, oh, she got good credit, she going to buy me this, as to say as if all black women don't have good credit, or, you know, black women, you know, white women are paymasters, but black women are not. I mean, like, it could go either way. I can honestly say, you know, I was born in, you know, New York, Brooklyn, or whatever. I lived in Atlanta a long time before I moved to Texas, right? When I first moved here, after being in Atlanta, you know, for 17, 18 years, which is, you know, predominantly a black city or whatever, and I first moved here to Texas, I never forget, I went into, you know, Papa Do's, you know, it's my favorite restaurant. It was like 6 black people in there, okay? Every last couple was either white or black or Mexican and black. It was only 1 black man and 1 black woman together. And I have noticed since I've been here, all of the men literally date either Hispanic women here, black men. They either date Hispanic women or they date white women. You very rarely find black-on-black couples here. And I said, you know, it was shocking. Now, when you go to Houston or, like, more urban cities, because, like, Houston is closer to Atlanta, there's a lot of black-on-black. But here it's very rare that you see a black man with a black woman. And it offended me. But then I started looking at my surroundings. I started saying, okay, I can't really fault the black man here because a lot of the women that live here are ratchet. All the hoes is on Section 8. They ratchet as hell. They ghetto as hell. They don't have nothing going for them. They don't have no job. They waiting on welfare. So how can I be mad if, and I'm talking about honest to God truth, like these girls is ratchet, okay? They don't even like to buy good quality hair. They still wear pack hair.
Oh, my God.
I
don't know in my book.
But Tiffany, I think it's more so of, and don't get me wrong with this, say this, because this is coming from a black gay man, because so I don't know anything about in real relationships with a straight heterosexual couple. But majority of white women are, they're docile. They're not the average, typical, you know, get into your face, I'm not taking this shit, black woman. You know what I'm saying? And when most men are ready to settle down, they would rather have someone that is going to follow than try to leave in that type of situation. And a lot of the conversations that I've had with my counterparts, that's the problems that they have in their relationship. They're not the leaders. The woman is trying to lead. And with white women, they don't have those problems. So if that's the case, then I can understand. You know, if you're trying to do your role as a man, but that goes back to the topic that we were talking about as far as what's going on, how the black culture has been disrupted by this stigma of race and how the father has been removed from the home because black women don't know better, know any better than that. And that's a negative way to say it, but that's realistic.
Another thing, I wanted to also reverse it. You have black women celebrities out here that are dating the white men. What do you guys think about that?
They may date a white person or a person of another, you know, ethnicity for whatever reason. As long as it's not because you think, you know, that dating another person of your race or color is wrong, then that's fine. You can date whoever you want to date. You can be attracted to whoever you want to be attracted to. Just don't be ignorant about it.
Exactly. Like, people gang on Halle Berry because she dates predominantly white men. And it's like, at the end of the day, if that's who you like, that's who you like. I'm not going to browbeat you because you like another culture or you like another color. I mean, it is what it is. But, like, I don't know who it was just said, you know, if it's about because you think that one race is better than the other, then that's when I start to have a little bit of an issue.
But see, I don't think, though, too, I think that's a myth that they say all white women are docile, because you have docile black women, you have white women that's not going to take your mess, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like, oh, I'm going to get with a white woman because, you know, she's going to, you know, be more docile. I think it is true, though, that a lot of times black women do try to, you know, they try to, you know, overpower the man. And I feel like in any relationship, whether you know, black, white, Hispanic, whatever, you know what I'm saying? You have to, like, let a man be a man. Yes, you can have your, you know, your points and say what you need to say and voice your opinion and have your own standpoint. But, I mean, you're never going to be the man. So a lot of times, you know, women do try to buck up and be like, oh, no, nigga, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do, you know, that. And so, yeah, I can see why a black man would be like, I don't want to deal with that. You know, she got too much attitude. She rolling her neck. She popping her eyes. And, you know, don't nobody want to deal with that. But don't think that because you get with a white girl that she going to just be like, oh, yes, massa, come on, let me suck your big black dick right now, and I'm going to listen to whatever you're going to say.
And that's why a lot of black men get with white women, because they think that they're going to be the head. And, you know, oh, and I know in the early 90s, late 90s, there was a rumor, oh, white girls gave better head. And white girls did things for their husband's boyfriends that, you know, black women didn't do. Now, this is true. Some white women just do. You know, I hate to say it, but my very best friend, you know, she only dates black guys. And I hate how she lets them get over on her. And I know they're with her because she does shit for them. When she gets money from her school, and when she gets paid, or whenever, when she gets taxes and shit, you know, she hooks them up, and you know, she buys them stuff. She does, and I know she's doing it out of love, but they're like, shit, if she gonna do it, then she gonna do it. And then her dumb ass, she's my best friend, but she still lets them get away with a shitload of shit.
Well, I want to ask Jasmine,
want a white girl,
what do you
get
think?
Away with them
because
shit.
I mean, what you think, Jasmine? I mean, because you are a mixed Hispanic and, you know, black woman, honey. So I'm sure you date African American men. So, I mean, I'm sure you don't think that, you know, black.
Girl,
no,
how you know what I date, Miss Dan?
Okay.
I've seen your husband, honey.
Oh.
Girl, you've seen my husband, Andre. You want to tell her the type of people I've dated in the past?
Yeah, it wasn't husbands. It was always one. She's always was a person that stayed in one relationship forever. And then the death broke up and she thought somebody else. But it wasn't husbands.
Is he black or is he white? But my thing is, okay, you're both, Jasmine, right? Okay, you obviously
all right, let me give you a breakdown. This is the breakdown of how it goes with me. Yeah, I'm mixed. So, you know, I was always divided on my black side and my Hispanic side. But one thing about my Hispanic side is I never really acknowledged being Puerto Rican, only because I held a lot of animosity towards my Spanish side as growing up. You know, they judged my black side a lot. You know, of course, I love my mother. My mother was black, and I loved her. But yet my Spanish side was always racist towards my black side. So as I grew up, I always used to say, I'm black. And no matter what my complexion was, no matter how long my hair was, I just always said I was black. I acknowledged my mother's side. So, you know, and it was because, again, the hatred that I had towards my Spanish side. So when, as I grew up, I only dated black guys. I acknowledged myself as being black. You know, when you would go out in public and people would just walk up to you and they would start speaking Spanish and stuff like that, I would always say, I don't speak Spanish. You know, and they'll walk up to me and they'll say, do you speak Spanish? No, I don't speak Spanish. Knowing good and goddamn well I do, or I can understand what they're saying, but I would say no. And it was just, you know, it was just an issue, a problem that I had with other Spanish people, only based on, again, the hatred that I was surrounded with as I was growing up, because my mother was on drugs and I had to live with my Spanish side for a long time because my mother was in and out of jail and stuff. So the way they used to always attack my mother and the things they always said caused me to have this hatred towards them. So, you know, as I got older, things changed. You know, I wasn't so judgmental and, you know, I wasn't so divided. But when it comes to me, I've learned over the years that when you find the right person, no matter what their skin complexion is or whatever, that one person will be, you know, that one person is going to be for you. You know, I dated a Mexican, you know, we were together for like 6 years. And that was, you know, that was like a perfect relationship. That man treated me like I was his queen, you know. And, you know, he was Mexican, but yet, you know, he was, you know, you wouldn't think, you know, with his attitude that he was Mexican. He was from Atlanta. He acted like another black person, in all honesty. But, you know, I dated black guys. I've, you know, was in a relationship with a black guy for 7 years. I was in a relationship with a Mexican who thought he was black for 6 years, you know. So, I mean, it just really depends. You know, it just really depends on who you find. I don't think that anybody, as far as dating out of your race, it's a problem. You know, I think when you find that one person that you're compatible with, that everything, you know, it works out well. I'm getting feedback again from people. Y'all need to mute your phones, please. Mute your phone.
Mute your motherfucker.
See, there it go again.
Girl.
Somebody needs to mute their own phone for real. Whoever's listening from a speakerphone, mute your phone because that's what we're hearing. But as far as, you know, again, dating out of your race, I don't think there's a problem with that. But like, I think Tiffany brought up a lot of good points because I just think it has to do with, you know, certain people just don't want to be bothered with certain things. Like with me, as you get older again, you start to realize, like, as you're young, you like all this, you like all that. You know, you like the thug, you like the ghetto-ness, you think it's fun and all the rest of that stuff. But as you get older, you don't like that no more. You don't want to be bothered with that no more. So as you're getting into these relationships and shit, you don't want to be bothered. You know, my relationship with the one guy for 7 years, you know, me and him got together, you know, we were from the streets. So, you know, we were We were hustlers. We were from the streets. We went from sleeping on a mattress in a rooming apartment, you know, where we shared a bathroom, we shared a kitchen, you know, and we hustled to, you know, to pay that, you know, weekly rent, you know. So that's where we were at. And then over the years, as time went by, and then as I started getting involved with business and everything like that, my attitude changed. I evolved. I started changing and who I was. I was now running a company. I was doing so many things, but his mentality was still based on the streets. His mentality was still, you know, being ghetto and ratchet and all that stuff. And the reason why we separated was because I felt like I was growing and he wasn't. So, you know, eventually as you get older, you know, you tolerate more or you tolerate less. In all honesty, you tolerate a lot less than you would as you're younger. So when you do find somebody that you're compatible with, I think that's what's important. And that person can be white, black, Asian, and all that stuff. It could just be whoever you want. Because eventually, again, as you get older, all those things that we think about, you know, as we're young, like we think about, oh, if I date a black guy, I date a thug, he's going to be there to protect me, and he'll fuck anybody up, so he got my back, and he'll do this, and he'll fuck somebody up, and that he'll, you know, he'll, you know, all this crazy stuff. But then as we get older, it's like life is not all about somebody protecting me or fucking me up. You know, I'm trying to survive. I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to hold a household down, or I'm trying to do this and that. You know, I care about education. I care about health. I care about finances and stuff like that. So if I don't have somebody in my corner about that, then what the fuck? You know, so that's where I think where a lot of that comes from. When you get older, you want to be loved. You want to be cherished. You want to be respected. You want to be appreciated. If you can't get that within your own race or your own skin color, you're going to try to get it somewhere, and that's where that comes from. So I think that's, you know, I think that's what a lot of it has to do with. So as far as dating or, you know, being with somebody, I always say to people, if he makes you happy, then he just makes you happy. And you have to do it for yourself. Don't do it for nobody else. You know, don't do it because you feel that, oh, well, I can't date out of my race because my family's going to judge me, or I can't date out of my race because other people are going to look at me. It doesn't matter. You know, do what you got to do. Because I see so many people now, you know, even white couples and stuff, they're just unhappy, you know. Why do you think there's so many tricks out there and stuff? These men that are out there hiring these prostitutes or these escorts and stuff, they're not happy at home, you know, with their white, quote-unquote, wife, or the white woman that'll suck a dick anytime, anywhere, or whatever. They still have to go out there and do whatever they need to do because they're not happy. You know, you just got to find somebody that makes you happy, bottom line. And that could be, again, either if you're dating a butch queen, you're dating a femme queen dating a trans man or a butch queen that dates trans men or butches, you know, however it goes. That's why I don't judge. Do whatever you need to do to make you happy. Or Tiffany, like, you know, Tiffany thinks she a femme queen and she only dates women. I mean, she only dates butch queens.
See, yeah, I was just about to say that. That you say that you'd say whatever make you happy, but you never let me live my fantasy. You always get on
because
me
you said
about me being. You always get on me about being the femme queen. You know what's so funny? I got to tell you this. The other day, it was last week. I don't know if it was the last week I was listening to the show, and I think I might have called in or whatever, and I was talking. My mom said, my mom heard me, and she was like, "You're talking so loud." She was like, "Where did I go wrong with you? I don't even know who you are anymore. I swear to God, you are a gay." She was like, "You think you are a gay man. Where did I go wrong?" She was like, "Lynn, stop crying almost." And she was just like, "I don't know who you are. I really think you are one of them." Like, she was going for berserk. And I was like, "Girl, have a seat." Like, that's what I told her. Like, "Girl, have a seat, Miss Thing." And she was like, "Look how you talk. What does that mean? What is this thing?" I was like, story.
Oh my God.
God, true story. This is an honest to God true story. My mom was like, "I don't know who you are anymore." She was like, "Who are you?
You don't even know,
like,
who you are anymore."
That's what she told me. She said, "I really think you are a." She was like, "I really think you think you're one of them. You're not." I was like, "Yes, I am." I was like, "Girl, I'm gonna say, have a seat, honey. She's like, what does that mean?
But see, Tiffany, let's speak realistically. The only reason why I get on you is because you know. Girl, you know what I mean, honey. You are a woman. But you're thinking, and it's okay to get your life right now. You know, get your life right now. But as you get older, what do you want out of life? Do you feel that you are going, because we all want to find someone that we can share the rest of our life with, or maybe we don't. Maybe we get it to a point in our life where we say, all right, honey, I done been there and I done that, and I don't even need to share my life. Because like I say with me, you know, all the women of my family, the real women of my family, my mother, my aunt, I always acknowledge my black side. So when I say the family, even on my Spanish side, I notice it too, though. But the black women of my family, my mother, my aunt, my grandmother, these were all women who at the very end, they were single. My mother passed away, she was single. My grandmother passed away, she was single. My aunt, single, you know. So I say that maybe it's just meant for, you know, the women of my family to be single till the very end, you know. Maybe we shared it in so many years in the beginning, but we realize it's not where I want to go. Compared to, I look at other families where, you know, the wife and the mother and the father are together. They've been together for 35 years, so forth and so on, and they go that way. You know, they die as a couple or so. So where do you want to be? Do you feel that you will find a butch queen or someone in this lifestyle that you're a part of to share the rest of your life with?
No, okay, let's be honest. We're going to have to be honest here, right? I don't just go out and seek butch queens, okay? Obviously not. I have two children. Not to say that a butch queen couldn't get me pregnant, but I'm just saying, I have two kids right by, from what I know, heterosexual men, right? Okay. I don't just go out seeking butch queens. When I met some butch queens, it'd be like in a setting of, one, I'm like at some type of gay function, and two, there's a lot of drugs involved, okay? So I'm either high, mm-hmm. I'm stoned, and now I'm ready to play. And I usually have all the drugs, and you know how the butch queens go. They're ready to play, too, because you're the one with drugs. So you want this, you're going to have to do something for mama, okay? You understand what I'm saying? And that's just how that goes. But as far
that sounds
as
more like a fetish.
Right. Rap me.
My strange addiction type tea.
Yeah, hello.
But as far
but
as
I mean, that's
like,
what she gets off at. That's where she gets off at, and that's fine. If that's what she likes to do now, that's fine. But let's speak long term.
No, of course long term. Of course I want to be settled down. I want to be married, and, you know, I want to, you know, grow old with somebody. I think if anybody tells you that they don't want to do that, then that's a lie, because who wants to die alone? Nobody wants to die alone. You need companionship. Mm-hmm. You need someone to talk to make you laugh, to come home and just decompress and tell about your day sometimes. Yeah, I absolutely
mm-hmm.
want that or whatever. Sometimes I do think,
mm-hmm.
You know, I am a little over the top and maybe I will never find you. Okay, you know what? I'm going to be honest, Jasmine. Because, see, you say I'm having fun now, but this is not something that I just thought. Like, I've been like this for so long that I am starting to see now as I have gotten older. I'm more clocky than a real a femme queen. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm so gay that when I go out in public and I talk to people, it's like I'm gay as hell. Whereas, you know, femme queens are more like, okay, well, you know, they're trying to, you know, blend in, so they're not as, you know, using all the gay lingo sometimes, and, you know, whereas and everywhere I go, I'm like, girl, I'm just saying, woo da woo da woo da woo. So a lot of my friends be like, you got them clocky, you going to get me spooked. Because I have a hard time. A lot of times when I go out, you know, I do find that men sometimes, when they're trying to talk to me, they do look at me sideways, like, you know, even my baby daddy sometimes be saying to me, like, bitch, what the fuck are you saying? Like, one time, I tell him all the time, like, oh, child, pay it. Or I'd be like, oh, girl, I don't know how to talk just, like, regular. everything that comes out of my mouth is gay. So I have a hard time that you'd be like, what are you saying? Like, I told you one time, I told him, he had got me so mad. I was like, oh, child, pay it. You know, you ain't nothing but a stunt anyway, honey. You fuck people, fine. I was just going ham. You know what I'm saying? Everything I was cussing out was in a gay form. I was like, no, bitch, I'm giving you aqua deals. You want aqua deals? I'm giving you motherfucking aqua. He was like, bitch, what the fuck are you saying? Like, I can't have an argument with you. I don't know what the lingo you're telling me. Like, what the fuck is an aqua deal? What is, well, you know, so, I don't know, Jasmine. I don't want to give up being gay. I love it.
We're going to find you a reformed gay man that's now straight.
Well, I do have a fake husband. And
you have a fake husband?
So I have a fake husband, a fake butch queen husband. You know, I let him do his thing on the side, you know. But we are literally, we are husband and wife. His boyfriend do know that we are husband and wife, which is me and, you know, Papa Balenciaga, Christopher Papa Balenciaga. I don't like when him and Red take a lot of pictures together because then I be wanting to cut Red. But, you know, during Gagaween, I had to go over there to my man house, you know, during the storm, and it was me, him, and Red in the bed, and I just was looking at Red like, oh, girl, I wish you'd just go on somewhere, Miss Fine.
It was fun for the three of y'all in that bed.
Wait a minute. You were in bed with Red and Papa?
Yes, God, I was. You better ask J-Rock. J-Rock was there, but he was in the living room. You know, I didn't allow
that. I knew J-Rock was over there, but I didn't know you was over there, too.
I got my next topic for Butch Queen Hour.
Hello?
Yes,
y'all are so lucky I did not storm that place. Oh, my God. I would have just stormed and just started reading every fucking body. Like, y'all be carrying, child. I remember when J-Rock came over to the hotel, and J-Rock had told me that he was staying with Red and Papa. I didn't know you were there.
No, I was only there, like, I came after Gagaween, so, you know, checkout was at 12. So we all left there. We went over to Red in the house. You know, honey, we did our, you know, honey. And then, like, that night, I left at, like, around 8 o'clock, and I went to, because you remember, my flight left the next morning. So I had went back to Baltimore, like, that night around 8 o'clock. And I stayed in Baltimore in my room for, like, the next 2 days because, you know, we was all stuck in. No flights was leaving.
I can't wait till I go on tour this summer, bitch. I'm breaking down buildings, bitch. Wait till I come out.
Yeah,
I will be breaking. I'm gonna be shaking up a lot of places, honey. I'm talking about the after party too. I'm shaking up all these little festivities that are happening at people's houses and shit.
You would be amazed at some of the things you would see, Jasmine. You would be amazed. You know?
Baby, you talking about somebody who's been... I've been in this game a long time, and ain't nothing on surprise, man. Nothing on surprise me at all.
I'm amazed at some things I see. I'm amazed at some of the things I see. If I could tell you some of the
names... Be amazed at some of the things that you do, girl.
Oh, yeah, I carry. I probably carry worse than the Butch Queen, honey. When I got that stuff up in me, girl, I think I'm a Butch Queen. I think I'm a size 5, and I think I'm a Butch Queen, honey. I be, honey, acting like I'm a, honey, a 2 instead of a 22, honey, girl. You don't want that day of that, honey. Woo!
Garbage Can Atlanta, 2013. Garbage Can Atlanta, 2013.
Okay.
Hold on,
did you just wake up?
J-Rock,
you're
having a nightmare. Wake up, J-Rock. Wake up. Wake up, J-Rock. What are you talking about?
Candy World, Garbage Can. Candy World, Garbage Can.
Candy World, Garbage Can.
Oh, she did something in Atlanta, Candyland weekend, honey. What did she do that time?
She picked up an old dirty trade off the side of the street.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Okay,
oh,
I am so... Well, I'm going to have this conversation with you after the show, Jasmine, because I am
first
so confused about something.
First of all, he's not... First of all, he wasn't dirty. I picked him up off the side of the road.
Hold on real quick. Hold on real quick, yeah. Miss Calvin, Miss Calvin is no longer with us tonight. She put her phone on her titty, and her titty hung up the phone. So she wanted to say goodnight. She said she will see y'all next Wednesday, and don't forget, Scandal is next week. And RuPaul's Drag Race starts on Monday.
Yes, what is Scandal?
What's Scandal?
I've never heard of that before.
See how y'all turn on y'all girlfriends? That Miss Olivia Pope was y'all girlfriend for so fucking long, and because the bitch left the scene for a couple of minutes, now y'all don't know her. See, this is what I talk about. A bitch can't get locked up or go away for a couple of months before y'all forget about her.
She needs to come back. Oh.
It's not my fault the House of Cards has taken her place in my life.
Well, Scandal better give me some good ass bomb head on the show next week. They better let me know it.
Why did you have to say that?
Hello?
Because that's exactly how Scandal is. I mean, that's exactly how it had me. It had me like, damn. Oh, it's off. Off for like a month. You can't really get into nothing. I mean, it's off like a month.
She's been off for more than a month. But let's do a quick recap, because, you know, we're supposed to talk about our TV shows at this time, but we've still been talking about this stuff. What has everybody been watching this week so far, and what's everybody getting into and stuff? Jason?
Atlanta Housewives.
Well, I've been watching, thanks to Marcus, who put me, well, people have been talking about it, but thanks to Marcus, I finally watched it, House of Cards, and I can... completed the first season, and I completed the second season last week. Now I am about to start watching something called Young Dracula that has been on for 5 seasons. So I'm about to start watching that. And I've been catching up.
House of Cards is actually good. I haven't caught up on it. And also, I forgot to say this earlier. Happy birthday to the icon Ayanna Christian. It is her birthday, and she is another one I got watching House of Cards, and she be texting me all the time. So, girl, I can't stop watching it. Girl, I can't do nothing. I can't move. I can't stop watching this show. So happy birthday to Ayanna. If you guys are out there and you're friends with her, give her a birthday shout-out on Facebook or so. It is the lovely lady's birthday this evening, well, tonight, and, you know, midnight, you know, will be her birthday today, the 20th. Happy birthday to her. But, yeah, House of Cards is a very good one. I haven't heard of Young Dracula, though. Justin, what are you watching?
I'm watching House of Cards, too. And that's basically it, because nothing else is in American Idol, and it's been hard for me to get into it this season, so... I really don't care for these people, except for, like, one person. And if he gets voted off, I'm kind of going to be done with the show, and that is George Lovett. And you can look him up on YouTube. He's got a lot of videos out there. That man can sing. Tonight was the guys' elimination night, and he kind of monked it up. And I think it was, you know, you could tell it was kind of nerds because you're, you know, national TV and stuff your first time or whatever. But... I'm really rooting for him. If he gets voted off, I will not be watching for the rest of the season.
Yeah, with American Idol, I actually started watching it tonight. I recorded, you know, it's been on the thing to record, but I erased everything except the top 13 and the top 14. I mean, the top 13 girls and the top 13 boys. I started watching the girls tonight, but... I had to stop because I wasn't feeling good. So I think I'm going to try to catch up with that and see who the girls and the boys are, you know, what they're given. So I haven't really, I don't even know who's in the top yet. Okay, J-Rock, what you watching, honey?
My Vista.
I don't watch nothing. I'm watching The Last Dragon.
The Last Dragon?
I know that's right. All right, Bishop, what are you watching?
Atlanta Housewives. Atlanta Housewives, and I'm trying to get into this show that come on at the Atlanta Housewives.
Oh, you talking about Blood City Hills?
Yeah, I'm trying to really get into it, but I really don't feel that show. The only reason why I watch it because it come on at the Atlanta Housewives. But I think I'm gonna start watching House. You said House of Cards. I'm gonna start watching that.
It's, I mean, Blood City Hills is
good.
I'm sorry.
No, I was saying House of Cards is good. Go ahead.
Blood, Sweat, and Heels is kind of all right. I kind of have been. It's like a interesting cool down period of the. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know how to say it, but it's just all right. I think that the girls that they have on there are kind of cool or whatever, but this last couple episodes that they've had have been kind of. I really haven't liked how they kind of interact with everybody. Ms. Lisa Ford is cool. She's on there. And a couple of other ladies that are kind of like business-minded women. So, it's, you know, if you want to see something that's kind of cool, just check that out. And that's Blood, Sweat, and Heels.
Okay. Tiffany, what you watching?
I'm glad Walking Dead is back on. That's my ultimate show.
Oh, yeah.
And,
God.
Yeah, and I'm really into the have and the have-nots.
Yes.
Atlanta Housewives. And I'm trying, like Bishop said, I'm trying to get up on that Blood, Sweat, and Heels. I've been watching, you know, every episode, but, well, I'm like an episode behind on the DVR now, but I can't really get into them either. It's just like you kind of want to watch it, but then it's kind of boring. It's just like, I don't know. So, yeah, just have and have nots. Oh, and Mary Jane. Mary Jane, Real Housewives, and Walking Dead.
Mary Jane is kind of cool, though. I've caught one episode. I'm not a big fan of it. Like, I haven't been just watching it. I, like, caught one episode, like, on DVR just to kick it out because everybody was talking about it. But it's kind of pretty decent. It's interesting scenario, whatever.
I've been waiting to come back, and I'm thinking, you know, I love Revenge, you know, so I'm, like, ready for Revenge to come back. I like
Revenge is
my
back.
Sister. When? Because I got to
tell
my TV on, I haven't seen no new episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well,
it ain't on yet.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm like, because that's set to my DVR, and I haven't seen no new episode yet.
Joelle, what are you watching?
Well, Jasmine, you know I had to go on my Netflix archive and I had to go back to Asylum because, I don't know, it was just I was going through withdrawals of American Horror Story and the Bad Girls L.A. Battle. That show was a little is funny, you know, I'm competing for that money. And I just watched the RuPaul's Drag Race show. It was like, okay. It was funny.
This season was the young white lady wasn't that one, wasn't it? This last season where they had everybody.
What are you talking about?
RuPaul's Drag Race, because I really don't watch consistently, but I watched this last, I think it was the last season. So does anybody know who the winner of this year was?
Mm-mm.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
What do y'all think about Jimmy Fallon taking over Tonight Show?
But I haven't watched Tonight Show on Eons.
I know.
I'm going to let you know something. I think it was a good move. I think it was an awesome move.
Child, you sitting here talking about some damn Jimmy Fallon. Let me answer that shit.
I don't even watch the Tonight Show.
Okay. Yeah. I'm surprised that the Arsenio Hall show is still
so
on.
Let me tell y'all what I'm watching so y'all motherfuckers can start watching it, honey, and get a life. Okay? The Walking
no,
Dead.
No, really quick,
everything.
I want to watch what you're talking about, though, because what is the name of the show? Because I've been seeing Jason say stuff about it, too, but I never. The one you said you told Ayanna about, too.
House of Cards. It's on Netflix.
On Netflix.
Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All the episodes are on Netflix.
I'm going to give it a try.
For you guys that are asking, The Orange is the New Black is coming out, I think it's June 6th. So that'll be back out on Netflix in June. So if you guys haven't seen The Orange is the New Black, it is on Netflix now, and the season 2 will be on in June. But as far as what I'm watching currently, Walking Dead is everything on Sundays. The Following, I love that show. I think I watched it on Mondays. I know you guys probably aren't into like Arrow and Vampire Diaries and
the
original
Arrow,
and stuff.
I watched Arrow. Arrow was cool.
Yeah,
Arrow
was real good, and I'm so excited that on Fox this upcoming fall they have a new show called Gotham, and it has to do with it's like the prequel of Batman. It actually follows Commissioner Gordon when he was young. He was a young detective, and I just heard today that Jada Pinkett Smith is going to be playing one of the villains on that show. So you're going to be seeing, if you guys love comics or like that, the whole, you know, Batman thing, it shows, like, I think when Batman was a child, but it's not based on him. It's based on Gotham City itself. And it's going to show, like, a lot of people when they were younger, like the origin stories of, like, Catwoman and the Penguin
Joker
and the Riddler and stuff like that. And, you know, Jada's going to be in it. She's playing, I think her name is Fish Mahoney. She was like a gangstress back then. And she was actually the Penguin's leader back then. So she's going to be in it and stuff. So that comes out in the fall. But I definitely look forward to that because, you know, I love all the comic stuff. But, yeah, right now my top shows that I'm, like, really glued to are, like, Walking Dead, The Following. I'm waiting for Scandal. I'm waiting for Revenge. What else? I hear that The Witches of East End are coming back on, is coming back on soon. Of course, I'm waiting for, like, True Blood and stuff like that and some of those other shows that are coming on shortly. But, you know, that's pretty much what I'm watching. Did anybody watch Basketball Wives on Monday or nobody's really feeling
yes.
it?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I don't even know that they showed up.
I watched, but it seems a little scripted this year. I'm sorry. It seems,
Yeah, I don't live for it. I think it is scripted.
I mean, I just,
let me
I
ask everybody
know.
A question. Let me ask you guys a question. When it comes to Love and Hip Hop, do you guys like Love and Hip Hop Atlanta or Love and Hip Hop New York? Which one do you like more?
Atlanta.
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 Yeah, Atlanta gave me life.
Me too. I like it. Yeah, Atlanta too. Mm-hmm.
But this is the thing, Jasmine. Did you see that Atlanta's supposed to have, did you hear about Atlanta,
that
the new
big ass fight?
Yeah, not only the big fight, but you heard that Ghostface and Kelsey that's on the couples therapy, they're going to be supposedly on the new Atlanta Love and Hip Hop, and Kelsey and Bambi, because you remember Scrappy was dating Bambi for a minute. Her and Bambi actually get into a fight this season.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that. Andre, what are you watching over there, honey? What'd you say?
You really want to know what I watch?
What are you watching, child?
At 10 o'clock in the morning, if this is if I'm in the house, y'all got to fall out. At 10, I watch Wendy Williams. At 11 o'clock, I watch...
How you doing?
Then I wait to 3
o'clock.
At
11 o'clock, you watch what?
The View.
The View.
Yeah. And then then I go to 3 o'clock, I watch Steve Harvey. Then after 3 o'clock, I wait till 6 because I'll be watching the news sometimes. Then at 6 o'clock, I watch Queen Latifah. Then after Queen Latifah, I watch Family Feud, both half an hour. That makes an hour. And then I'll pay TV no mind, maybe put a movie in. And then at 11 o'clock, I watch Arsenio Hall.
Do you know what? I only watched Arsenio Hall once.
You said, wait, what he said?
You don't live for Ellen?
You don't watch Ellen?
I do watch Ellen, but she comes on the same time somebody else comes on. So
Well, looking at the Queen Latifah show is like watching Ellen.
No, it ain't.
Ellen is funny.
I like Ellen because she is funny, and I like Ellen a lot because she like dancing, and she's always got somebody up there dancing or whatever. So, yeah, I do like her as well. So I watch her as well. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch the news to see who's dead.
That's wrong.
You know what? I used to watch the news to see who was dying and stuff, but now, child, it's like on the news, who's pulling the latest scam, bitch? Who done got caught crafting something? That's what they always showing now.
But you know what's sad that I noticed the difference between today and yesterday? It don't matter what you do now, don't do it because you're going to be on the news. It could be the littlest crime, and they will put you on the news and make you gag for the littlest, stupidest shit. Years ago, it was never that way. You had to do something really big to be on the news. Now you can slap an old bitch, you on the news front page, bitch. You got to watch everything that you do. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all watch another show I'm excited about coming up is Game of Thrones. Y'all don't watch that?
Mm-mm. Well,
I said I wanted to get into the first season, but I didn't.
Yes,
I've been watching Helix.
Game of Thrones, you got to go see, in order for you to even catch up on this new season coming up, because it comes on like with True Blood around that time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to catch up to the first season with Ned Stark. Baby, Jasmine, you will go ham about Game of Thrones. I didn't think I would either. My mom put me onto it, and I was like,
I tried to tell her, Tiffany.
It's good. Like,
yeah,
oh my God,
I said one of these days I'm gonna really get into it. I gotta catch up with so much stuff. Like I'm still watching House of Cards and stuff, so I need to.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, I thought I got hung up on it.
I did too. Desmond, I think you muted yourself.
Muted.
Did we lose Jasmine? No, because if we lost her, we still wouldn't be here. But it's only 10 minutes to the show anyway. Do anybody watch Dalton Abbey?
I heard about it, but
oh
my God, no.
That's a novice show that I love.
They said it was like really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm. It's like classic reads on that show.
Hey, any of y'all watch Black Sails? Black Sails?
Mm-mm.
I'm getting a little bit into it. I mean, it's okay.
I'm ready for True Blood and Game of Thrones to come back on. Like
True Blood is that? Oh, this is the last season, isn't it?
Yep.
I hope not. Don't tell me that.
It is.
It's the last season of True Blood.
Yo.
Oh my God! It's gonna be like when they finally married Bella and what's his name Wolf. Oh my God! No more Twilight.
Don't give me the tea.
Don't tell me you was watching Twilight.
I'm going to cry. Yes, I love Twilight. Are you crazy? Are you smoking that shit?
Mm.
Twilight.
Only reason
so
I like Twilight is because of that freaking song from the movie, and that's it.
No, it came a time, though, when I was like, she was pissing me off. I was like, just bite this bitch and get it over with. Like, she's doing too much. Like, she got makeup and
Miss Blocktalk really tried it, honey. She done kicked me the fuck off.
Yes.
I'm going to read them tomorrow.
That's what she did to me last Tuesday.
She said, she popped in with a different internal error. You are now being disconnected. But if I'm disconnected, how is the show still on?
That's a gaga.
Ooh. Well, honey, we need to wrap it up, honey, because if I got disconnected, that means that this thing is about to shut off. So everybody say good night really quickly.
Good
night.
Good night.
Oh, I'm sorry. Start at the bottom. Joelle, say good night.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Joelle. Tiffany, say good night.
Good night. And Andre, thank you for coming on and giving that history lesson. I really enjoyed it. Good night.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Tiffany. Say goodnight, Bishop.
Good night, y'all.
Thank you, Bishop. J-Rock, say goodnight.
He with a date.
Again. Damn, he got him coming and going.
Thank you, J-Rock. Justin, say goodnight.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Justin. Andre, I think we lost you. Yeah, Andre's gone. Jason, say goodnight.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for tuning in again. As always, get out there, be safe, be happy, be blessed. Do something positive, not only for yourself, but for someone else. See you next week.
Thank you, Jason. All right, y'all. Thank you guys for tuning in to the State of Emergency show. We will be back on Monday for our anniversary show. Again, Tuesday for Trash Show Tuesdays, and Wednesday for another State of Emergency episode. Don't forget to... Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was thinking about a ball. Okay, no, that's it. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. People that are archiving the episode, shout out to you guys. And again, we will be back. Make sure you call in on Monday. It will be epic. Everyone have a safe weekend. Be blessed. Be safe. And we will talk to you soon. Good night.